Andy, get talking. You got 7 to 8 minutes.
Yeah. Right.
And then we're going to get to the wheel. So,
JK, right. JK.
So I begin.
So Jomez OnlyFans, grab the wheel.
Yeah.
Welcome into Unstable Discourse, baby.
Hey.
Good evening.
Yeah.
It's season 2, episode 5.
Nope. Strike that. Nope. Reverse strike it. That.
Reverse I know
it.
What I did. I did it
okay.
on purpose.
Okay. Okay.
Because I already screwed it up once and you all corrected me. Yeah. It is season 5, episode 2.
That's the one.
We're back at Callahan Acres Basement. It is me, Alex Seminary of Tailwind Media, here with Ryan Fancher of Unstable Disc Golf Gear.
Yes, sir.
Sean Callahan, a.k.a. Connor Price of Delwood Disc Golf.
Your boy.
Jason Callahan, a bag of tricks.
Hello, everybody.
Today, we're joined by Andy Padula Oblongata of some very interesting things that you are
we
of.
Have come to find out.
We are coming to get to know you. The reason we were so compelled to have you on the show is because you are a former Jomez crew. So you're a videographer, content creator for disc golf. And do you want to tell people where you work today?
Yeah. So fun story. I decided to leave Jomez Pro in the Disc Golf Pro Tour after roughly 2.5-3 years. And I ended up landing a job with OnlyFans. We can get into it later.
Yeah, there's it's a sick. Lot. There's a it's lot pretty to talk sick. About.
We'll just let that simmer for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, your name is not Padula Oblongata. Your name is Andy Padula.
Yes.
But I can't not
no, it's fair.
Hear mm-hmm. that.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Padula.
Okay, yeah. Padula. All right. That's what I've been saying for a while.
So we have a lot of cool stuff that we're going to be talking to Andy about, like, how did you get into Jomez? What was it like working there? Why'd you leave, et cetera? And what really goes into making disc golf coverage happen? There's so much that people don't know. Even though we've talked about it a few times on the show, I still feel like we've never gotten your perspective. So that's going to be awesome. And then, of course, we have the Deucer in the house with us as well. Ryan, please don't forget the sploosh sound effect. I noticed you forgot that in the last episode.
Stop doing that.
Sean sounds serious about not
she legitimately
it.
Does not like it.
That's a real shame because I like it a lot.
We know.
Before we get to the gin and juice of this episode, if you will, the main stuff, if you're listening for the first time, welcome. If you've been here the whole time, you're welcome. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
If you're here for the first time, you're welcome. Yes. If you've been here the whole time, thanks for being here.
What is this show?
Yeah.
Before we get to all the good stuff, let's start with what we're fired up about.
Fired up! I don't know what I'm going to do right when he says it.
We're
going
to have a talk.
Speaking of having to have a talk, that I was pretty happy with having some video content on the last episode. That was brand new for us. And that clip where you were talking about not drinking and you know what that means, I think people seem to like that.
No, I think you're right. I think it had to be said. I was a little overly protective dad about it, but
in a good way.
Yeah, I feel strongly about that shit.
Same.
We'll have cameras on again today, by the way. Not the whole show, so if you're listening to this part is not going to be in the YouTube content. The YouTube content is just the gin and juice. It's just the main topic, the stuff that's kind of like for everybody in the disc golf world, whereas a lot of what we talk about before that is a little more local. Mm-hmm. So
can I ask you a dumb question that I should know the answer to?
Please.
Did you put the first episode up on YouTube?
No.
Okay. I was like, wait, is there a full...
No, I was intending to, but since we... And it's a learning process, right? So we had like different kinds of cameras, different lighting. It just didn't look very professional. And given how professional all the audio is that Ryan puts out, I didn't want to put out anything video that wasn't like the right standard.
Sure.
So we put out a couple clips as a teaser. We'll see how today goes because we're using different cameras, different angles. But eventually we will have the show on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, let's get back to Fired Up. We don't have to do it again. But
I'll do a different one.
I like
that won't
one
be loud, so I don't get...
Just go like this.
Oh, boy. Who's going first
That was
today?
Mainly for the laughs.
Good Lord. Me?
Jason, what are you fired up about?
Oh, what am I fired up about?
Flat tires.
Flat tires, yeah, unfortunately. I had a super weird Lauren Lakeberg incident.
Ooh, can't wait.
Over the weekend, like one of those synchronicities that's like, what am I supposed to take from this?
Mm.
All the time, I will randomly have a song just kind of pop in my head. And most of the time, it is a song that I have not heard in 20 plus years. It's not like I heard it on the radio or I was shopping and it played in there. It'll just be like this song that'll be like, where did you come from? What is that? Why is that just in my head? And this happened on Saturday. There was a song that had popped into my head and I could only like come up with a handful. There's not a Jolene at the end of this. There's no, this is, oh,
it's a, yeah, I wasn't concerned yet.
Brian I just wanted to preempt it.
What? If this is Jolene, you're getting good.
No. I wish. There was a song that popped in my head and like, it was one of those, like I had the lyrics, but I was like, oh, that's not everything. And of course, I don't know if most people realize, but there's a feature on Spotify that if you have just a handful of the lyrics, you can just type those in as the search and it'll pull up the song for you.
Hmm.
And so I did that and it was a song by Eric Carmen. You guys know Hungry Eyes is what he was most famous for from the Dirty Dancing soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. I know him from South Park, but go on.
Yeah, Eric Carmen. And I was like, oh, that is so weird. And it was a song that I hadn't heard in literally probably 25 plus years, but it was an Eric Carmen song. So I listened to it Saturday morning.
All I can hear is Eric Carmen singing Hungry Eyes.
Yeah. It wasn't Hungry Eyes. Hold on.
Yeah, hey, you guys. Stay line now.
The song is called Make Me Lose Control. So I listened to the song that morning.
I'm not going to concentrate until I hear it. Sing something, and I think I know what it is.
Make me lose control. Baby, baby. Turn the radio up.
Jam. Okay. And I'm like jamming out as I'm making pancakes Saturday morning. Monday, the news breaks that Eric Carmen died over the weekend. They haven't released what day he died, but Monday it was put on his website by his wife that he died over the weekend. And I saw the news and I Googled it and everything. I'm like, why did I have that song pop in my head?
His last jump from this ethereal plane was to go in through you while you were driving through traffic and then into the netherworld.
Yes.
Telling you, it was so bizarre.
So he can exist forever in the UDU now.
Yes. Right. How crazy is that?
That's wild.
Yeah. It was just this bizarre thing. Yeah, I know.
As the details, you were like, I'm making pancakes. I'm like, okay. This is a Jolene.
How did he lose control with the pancakes?
I wish there was.
Keep the syrup.
So you're excited. You're fired up that this guy's dead.
I'm not fired up that he's dead. I'm fired up for it because I had this synchronicity happen that I'm like, and it's happening all the time now.
You are like, you're tapping into your Lakeburg.
For about a year, I've been I'm keeping my eyes open all the time. And I will constantly, I listen to podcasts while I drive all the time. And I will be driving and just look up at a billboard. And two of the words on the billboard will be said in the podcast the second I make contact with that billboard. That kind of stuff happens to me all the time. And it's not just like I have this overwhelming sense of self. Okay. All right, I'm listening. What is it? Yeah. Like, you've got my attention. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to take from this? But it, like,
the password is.
Yeah. So I'm trying to figure that out. But this was probably the most alarming one that I've experienced. Was I listening to that song as he was taking his last breath?
Like, every time a song pops in your head now, you're going to be like, oh my God, they're dying.
Exactly. Yeah. They're dead. they're dying. Yeah.
I killed him.
Very bizarre. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. It made me lose control.
Just son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You just got to keep that spirit alive.
Lose control. You got into an accident or you could have.
Yeah. Oh, I could.
You could have gone there.
Yeah. Andy, you can go any number of directions after that story. So what are you fired up about?
I don't know that mine will truly follow that up in the same manner.
Nobody dies in your story.
No one. Mine's a little bit more lighthearted. I just booked a trip for the middle of April to visit my friend in Montana. Never been. He's been in flight school for the last 3 years and none of my friends or I have come and visited him in
the clouds.
Yeah. So we all kind of were like, man, we've never visited you and you're graduating in 1 month. So let's all go and experience Montana. So I will be there for like 4 or 5 days.
Are these disc golf pals?
A couple of them are. So my buddy who lives there, I actually got him and his girlfriend into disc golf last year. So they've been playing and they've scoped out some of the courses. So
and the rest of them are OnlyFans pals.
Yes. The rest of them.
They're not friends. Yeah. They're only fans. They're
only
fans.
only friends.
Only friends. Only friends.
Yeah, only friends.
Only friends. Good.
We gotta TM. I'm going to cut that out so nobody steals that.
Yep.
Don't let my boss hear it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. Play some disc golf, go hiking or do whatever. He's also like really into poker. So I'm assuming there will be poker to be played. So
Hell yeah.
Unfortunately, my only experience with Montana was driving from Pennsylvania to Seattle, Washington and going through Butte, Montana. Butte, Montana. Because I threw a rod in the engine of my car and it was in January. In Butte, Montana, and we are stuck in the middle of nowhere, and it's like 4 degrees outside, and we ended up having to call a tow truck, and I had to rent a U-Haul with a trailer on the back and tow it all the way from Butte, Montana to Seattle, Washington.
My God, so, that's so far.
Yeah, so Montana is forever tainted for me, and it's a shame because everything I see about Montana is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, needless to say, I'm not going to Butte, Montana. I will be in Billings, Montana.
Okay. And also, I hope the engine in any aircraft doesn't throw a rod.
I mean, after seeing all this news about Boeing lately, I mean, don't know how I feel about flying in general, but, you know.
Seriously.
Hopefully we land.
Yeah.
I've been on, like,
and over. And if not, you know, it's with friends, so.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, what a way to
just
go.
Just don't ever whistleblow and then just wind up mysteriously dead a couple days later.
True. I'm going to keep my mouth shut no matter what I see on that plane.
For real.
Aliens in the back, whatever. Like,
it's cool. You name it.
Yeah, no, we good. We good.
I mean, I've been on plenty of planes in the last few years with the Pro Tour, so.
Sure.
I'm still here.
I saw a great post that said Boeing is the sound that the plane makes when it hits the ground.
Oh, Jesus. That's
yikes.
Anyways,
can you put the sound of the podcast coming to a screen?
Sean, what are you fired up about?
Just this morning, I asked all of the early birdies to come. Ryan's rolling his eyes, so now I'm super
gross.
No, I'm not. I am confirming that you did indeed do that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what that means?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody's going to come over on Sunday, and we are going to start the process of installing the turf tee pads here at Callahan Acres.
Oh, my God. Nice.
Mm-hmm. You want to come over and film it?
Yes.
You can. I think I'm free.
Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So I'm pretty stoked for that because I have had them now for, not quite a year, but this has been brewing.
There's a big old pile of gravel back there.
Yes. I have all of the things. Very cool part of this. Former owner of Callahan Acres. He didn't call it that.
He really dropped the ball. Yeah. Yeah. Good thing you came out and picked up the ball.
So in the backyard, he was building a fort. He worked for ComEd, and there is a ton of materials still left over from said fort that he never got to finish. So I am utilizing all of those timbers for the framework for the tee pads. Sick. So this is like a very cool thing for me because I feel a connection to him that like he was like a kid at heart, like we all are, and he was going to build this fort and he didn't get to finish. So I'm going to take the materials.
And when he says fort, it's not like outbuilding. It's like a fort.
Yeah.
Like something double level, when you picture a 7-year-old drawing a fort, like that's what it was going to be.
It was telephone poles, 4 telephone poles that are like roughly 10 to 12 feet apart. The structure is there. Like I could continue building this fort if I wanted to, but instead I'm going to use some of this material for the tee pads. So that feels really cool to be able to like pick up where he left off type of a vibe. So I'm hoping that if he can see that, you know, that's a cool thing. And to be able to do it with the guys, and I'm just excited. It's going to be cool.
I think it's really cool, too. Yeah. The owners of my old house left behind, they like tore down the fireplace, and they left one of the original stones of the fireplace, like on the ledge of the window as like just a decorative thing. It looks fine, but I like having it there because it's like this connection to the people who were here before.
An homage.
Yeah. That's just cool. Yeah. So I get it. But now you could have had a survival fortress in the zombie apocalypse somewhere down the line.
I don't think I haven't thought about that too.
We'll get to it.
Yeah. I mean, that's after the turf tee pads get done.
Yeah, sure.
We'll get to it. Priorities. Finish what I started. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The course first, survival later.
And since you worked at ComEd, there's like...
We have time, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
Probably. There's like full electrical service back there. It'll be done
like
right.
Easy for glow rounds. There's like four massive streetlights in my yard.
I can't wait for the inevitable invite-only event. Oh, that's
what this is all culminating towards. Yeah. Sheila knows. I've already spent the last couple of years... getting here prepared for that.
Mm-hmm. We'll put it up on OnlyFans Live.
Yes. Yeah, perfect. Uh-huh. Hey, guys, we're coming together here.
Yeah.
Exclusive sponsorship.
That's the
goal. That's the goal. Yep.
Before we get too far away from that joke.
Thank you.
We had talked about, Andy was telling us that we could set up our own OnlyFans as a podcast that people could subscribe to, and we don't have to do anything inappropriate. We can just keep doing exactly what we're doing. And so if ever the day comes where we want to do something like that, we're going to either do, Patreon, but why wouldn't we just do it on OnlyFans instead?
Oh, sure.
That it would be funnier. Yeah. Way much funnier. More funnier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But would our fans actually subscribe to us on OnlyFans?
Because of it, yes.
Yeah. I know a few who would be down immediately. Yeah.
Sure.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah.
Ryan, what are you fired up about?
I am fired up about gaining a little bit of perspective this morning. I was about a 3 out of 10 frustrated with the situation while I was printing because, to make a long story short, I've been watching episodes of NCIS from the very beginning. There are 20 some seasons, right? But there's only 15 seasons on Netflix. Mm. And once that was over, it becomes much more difficult without subscribing somewhere else.
Mm.
So I eventually found some other means on the internet to watch it. But that means that through OnlyFans, yeah. It's on in the background in some of the videos.
We have the last 5 seasons. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why.
Agent Gibbs looks way different, but
Agent Nips.
Yeah, Agent Nips, yeah. I was frustrated because I couldn't watch that on my television that I have directly in front of me while I'm printing. So I started laughing after a while because 20 years ago, we were stoked on a Saturday night to get like a VHS tape and put it in and watch it on a 19-inch television. And now I have 5 or 6 televisions in my house. I have 3 computers. You know, I have a phone. I have internet everywhere. And I realized that not only was it super easy, I could just cast the video from my computer to the television, that whatever television I wanted.
Oh, sure.
It hit me in the moment like, this wouldn't have been in our wildest dreams.
Right.
Not even for a second, right? I could be watching it on every television I have and 2 computers and my phone at the same time if I wanted. I was just frustrated at how inconvenient I thought it was that I couldn't look directly forward instead of 90 degrees to the right on a different screen, right? And it was like, it hit me and I almost had to sit down and laugh at myself because I was like, how lucky are we that we get to do this? So it was a little bit of perspective to just... realize
12-year-old you would tell you to shut the pussy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go play some Mario Kart. Yeah. It was crazy. Like I had that almost out of body. Like if anyone could have seen how frustrated I was with how ridiculous that must have looked.
Right.
That how specifically I wanted to do just this very tiny thing, but all the technology surrounding me
the
is
world
so
was
fast.
Against you in that moment.
Yeah. So that's all. That's all.
And it's all magic. Like the technology is literally just like
couldn't ahead, explain
try
it to
explain
you.
Explain how it works.
Couldn't explain it to you if I had the rest of my life.
Right. And there was at one point, like I looked to see what time it was and I saw that I could skip to the next episode on my watch. Like how ridiculous is this?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. It was, it was just funny.
But goddamn, you had to turn your head a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
So Maddie and I were just having a conversation about that because to try to explain to somebody that wasn't in their 20s during this very small period is so bizarre. We had physical media for like 3 years. We had digital media.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all just became streaming after that.
Mm-hmm.
But for that like 03 to 06, 07 period, where like we thought everything changed, oh, okay, 99 cents for a song on iTunes, click, like albums, click, like this is the future.
Mm-hmm. They gotcha.
Yeah, for that short window. And now...
Well, that's what paid for the new technology, though.
Yeah, yeah, I guess. Totally. Yeah, yeah. It was just legit. The iPod era, so real, but also like...
How many ringtones did you pay for?
Exactly.
Totally.
Gone.
Right? Yeah.
Gone. And now, if I hear a ringtone, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Immediately. Right. Yeah. Disgusting. How dare you?
Yeah. Just very bizarre time.
Yep.
I specifically remember buying... with my first girlfriend, I was like, oh, I've got to get a specific ringtone for her. And I couldn't think of a good song, but Where Is the Love by Black Eyed Peas was very popular and it had the word love in it. So that was my ringtone for her. And looking back, it was clearly a song about the love being missing.
Yeah.
But I had to buy that ringtone for 99 cents. Right. That was
and you did.
I'm
not going to wait for Ryan to ask me because I'm getting Alex. Sick of that. I am fired up also about a trip. Liz and I are going to Cancun. Well, Riviera Maya in April. Actually, you know what? I have two trips in April because we're taking a trip early in April. So I'm fired up about that.
Yes, we are.
Where are we going? Let's talk about that.
You brought it up. You tell it.
I don't know the name of the place we're going, honestly.
McLeansboro, Illinois.
And why are we going to McLeansboro, Illinois?
We are going to check out Fox Prairie Disc Golf Course, which is new and highly rated, and people are ranting and raving. One of the people involved in the installation of said course came into the shop and was actually right around when we got back from Idlewild. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, we just got back from a trip where we did this thing and we're looking to do it more. I think it would be awesome to come down and see you. And then Sheila, being smarter than all of us, said, well, there's also going to be an eclipse happening around April.
I keep forgetting about that.
So we added those two things together and made a full-blown trip out of it. So we're going to go see that happen in Southern Illinois and check out a new course.
Yeah. And it just so happens that there are varying degrees of totality with the eclipse. And McLeansboro is dead nuts in the center. So it is very serendipitous.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Another Lauren Lakeberg-ism.
We need to listen to Eric Carmen while we're going down there.
Oh, for sure.
And Lauren Lakeberg's coming on that trip,
Lauren's
too.
Coming.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, forget about my Cancun trip. I'm fired up about this.
Yeah. And that's coming.
Liz doesn't listen to this, does she?
That's only 3 weeks away.
No, yeah.
So like, it's happening soon. It's fair to be fired up about that now because it's coming up quick.
Yeah. Two trips in April, baby. Mm-hmm. And no, Liz does not listen to the show. You can say whatever you want right now. Go ahead. What do you really think about her?
Oh, I'm not going to do that.
Liz, you're a queen. Yeah. You are a queen.
Jason's like, I don't have time to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing drives her nuts faster than me listening to the show because we all talk at the same time and things like that. And she likes very, I'm Phoebe Judge. Really highly produced, educational or storytelling. And we're just hanging out. She... instantly, like her mood changes if I put the show on. So we can say whatever we want.
Nice.
She'll never hear
it. You know what drives me nuts?
Go on.
A steering wheel belt buckle. Damn it. I didn't say it right. A steering wheel belt buckle.
No, you got to start it all over.
No.
No. Yeah.
I'm in such a shitty mood over this flat tire. I'm trying so hard. You guys don't care.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's almost time for that, actually.
It is.
Now that we're all fired up, let's get to the Callahalander Rundown.
Callahalander Rundown, the holy shit, we're already two events into 2024 edition.
Whoa.
Ha, ha, ha.
Those are funny.
They're funny. GJTS TDTC. It's back on Sunday, May 5th. Registration goes live on Friday, April 5th at 7 p.m. on
DiscGolfScene.com.
You're damn right it does. This year, we will have a new captain, Mr. Mike Apostolou. Team color is yet to be determined. This is the third event on the Greater Joliet Tour season, with 5 points on the line going to each player of the winning team.
I think it should be fuchsia.
What is fuchsia? Remind me. Is that like...
It's like a lightish, pinkish, pink, lavenderish.
Pink?
Yeah.
He would hate that.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
It would be very funny if we told him that it was going to be any color that he had decided, and then...
Yeah. Sure.
We still did
it's
whatever
five
we wanted.
Teams, correct?
No, four teams.
Four teams.
Four teams.
Okay. Yes. Team green, myself as captain. Team red, Ryan is captain. Team
reigning champion.
Thor.
Team black is Thor. And since Leo Borowski has bowed out, we got Mike now.
TDB.
Anyway, to think, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Of a green ranger type scenario where he comes in and now the new guy is white.
Oh.
White?
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah. successful.
Well, we did joke about how Mike is clear.
He is clear.
Yeah. Mike, so, could it be clear?
Is team clear an option?
Can we? Could his jerseys just be like super?
Just no
like,
jerseys. Like mesh, emperor's new clothes type situation.
That'd be so.
They just have to play skins.
Mike, we just figured out your color, bud. Here we go. Moving on to the next event. The fourth event on the Greater Joliet Tour season is the 21st New Lenox Open. Jason, hit me with the tagline.
New faces, new places, new Lenox.
Close. New year, new logo, new Lenox. Oh, the event is on May 25th and 26th, and it is an AM-only event. Registration goes live on Friday, April 19th.
Good bread, good meat, good God, let's eat.
On what website? On what website, Ryan?
Discgolfscene.com.
Good job. That is it. I'm going to keep this one short and sweet. All of this unofficially brought to you by, again,
DiscGolfScene.com.
Andy?
What? Come on, Pete.
Yeah! Yeah. Got it.
He got it.
I'm so glad
he
we got
it. He was frozen.
He knew. He knew. What? We didn't all point to a sign.
We didn't point directly at him and then to a sign.
We need like a applause light sign.
That says,
like, yeah. Really dropped the ball.
Yeah, like a neon sign that's right behind Sean. Yeah, that'd be good.
All right. That's a wrap on the Callahalander rundown. And that means it's time for us to take a quick break. So you'll hear from our sponsors. And then we will be back to get into the gin and juice.
Yeah.
Hey, Disc Golf family. It's Andrew Weary with Redemption Disposal and Recycling. If you need a dumpster, we are your go-to local contact. Are you getting a new roof, remodeling your house, or doing some landscaping? Maybe you're just looking to get rid of the old junk to make room for your new Heiser racks and disc golf gear. Redemption Disposal standard size dumpsters are large enough for most jobs. The 15-yard dump trailers are on regular tires and hauled by standard pickup trucks, helping avoid any damage to surfaces, allowing for tight maneuvering, and the compact style helps minimize any inconvenience to homeowners. Our convenient and speedy service is unmatched, all at a competitive price. You can find us on Facebook at Redemption Disposal or email admin@redemptiondisposal.com. We look forward to helping you out with your future projects, but until then, we'll see you out on the course.
All right, welcome back. It's time for the gin and juice. The main stuff about this episode, and we are drinking gin and juice.
Oh, yeah, we are.
We talked about it, and it came to fruition.
That's right. Passion fruitation.
Passion fruitation. Yeah.
Damn it. He just said it faster. I was halfway through. Yeah.
I am drinking passion fruit, and it is good.
By Dr. Dre and Snoop.
Yeah.
5.9% alcohol by volume, and it's delicious.
Hmm. Well, at least the passion fruit one is.
Oh, yeah.
The citrus one is
a little...
It's a little oven cleanery.
Oven cleanery. Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like melon. We didn't get melon, but I feel like melon would be...
Yeah. Melon might be good.
That reminds me of a really dumb joke. What's brown and rhymes with Snoop?
Sounds pretty.
No, crazy. It's
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Oh,
my.
Yeah.
Damn.
We got him.
You're That's welcome.
Good. It was right That's in front good. Of us.
Yeah.
So we are going to be talking. about disc golf media production. But one thing I forgot to tell listeners at the top of the show is that we have our fantasy frisbee analytics reconnaissance tournament update for everyone.
We got a doozy for you.
And yeah, there's a lot that happened. So we'll cover all disc golf media production stuff, and then we got some wheels to spin.
So Andy, get talking. You got 7 to 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get to the wheel. So
JK, right. JK.
Go ahead, begin.
Jomez OnlyFans, grab the wheel.
Yeah.
You're not from this area, right? You're from New York.
I'm from Syracuse, New York.
How did you end up out here?
So my brother moved out to Chicago like 12 years ago, and I've just kind of been visiting him for the last 12 years. And then with my job with the Pro Tour, I was traveling a lot.
So I was going to get to you to work with the Pro Tour. How did that happen?
At the time that I got the job, I was working at basically I was shooting commercials at a video agency in Syracuse. And
anything we would know?
Most of it's just like local companies. So, I mean, I worked on car dealership infomercials.
The Carousel Mall.
Like it was a mix of like very cheesy stuff. Like HR videos and then like really cinematic biopic stuff for like company, like one of my clients was Stickley Furniture and they're like 100+ years old. And we did like a full like 30-minute biopic on like the history of Stickley. And it was like super epic.
That sounds cool. But what I'm picturing is the Wiz from Seinfeld. Yeah. Nobody beats the Wiz.
Very
much.
Nobody beats me because I'm the Wiz. Yes, I'm the Wiz.
Yeah. I can show you stuff afterwards.
That's just like that.
But this guy's name is Rob Senecal. He runs two car dealerships in Syracuse. One is Bridgeland Automotive and the other one is Candy Cars. And his whole gimmick is that he's the guy in the suits. You know, if you know, because you've seen him on TV at like, think like when you're growing up and you fall asleep and then like George Lopez is like on the TV and everyone's like, what the hell? And then people are flown. Except it's him. And his, you know, business partner wearing like a themed suits doing a 30-minute car infomercial, and it's the most ridiculous thing.
I'm here for it. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, actually, that sounds pretty great.
Those were real fun to shoot, but
So you were doing this, and you were a disc golfer, I assume.
Yeah. So,
how and why did you go after that job with the Pro Tour?
Funny enough, I actually didn't start playing disc golf until the pandemic. So I am very new to the sport.
What's the term for people who started playing during the pandemic?
COVID baby or something like that?
I think it's something like that.
Sure. Yeah. Go with that. I don't know.
Go on, COVID baby.
I mean, so I do have a background in Frisbee sports. So I did play Ultimate in college at UAlbany. So I wasn't, you know, it wasn't like foreign to me by any means. But I did not play until COVID. My brother actually came home for a wedding. And he had just gotten into it because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And we played around and I was hooked. And I played, I think that was like on a Sunday. And I played every day that week for my first week of ever playing disc golf. Cause I was like, I can get good at this.
But at that point, you weren't watching the coverage or anything.
No, yet. I didn't know anything. But within that week, I found Joe Mez like real quick. Cause I was like, I gotta watch someone like doing this on a higher level. And I knew it existed, but I didn't know that Joe Mez existed by any means.
So with all the other channels or platforms, I should say, out there, that's the one you gravitated to.
Why? Yeah, I mean, I think I just looked up professional disc. I don't remember the exact query I put in, but Joe Mez was like the first thing that popped up.
Sure.
And I saw like how many
Jason
views.
Jason probably was right below it, but he clicked on Joe Mez first.
Yeah, I was right there.
Yeah.
Jay Mez. On a totally different career. Jay Mez.
You're like, damn. I know, I could have worked for you.
Oh, yeah. Sure. And you would have made some weird videos.
He's the guy in the suit.
Yeah. He's the guy in the birthday suit.
So, I mean, I just watched that first video and, you know, it was probably some tournament coverage or something like that. And kind of just kept paying attention. I was like, I want to get good at this. And I feel like this is what I should be watching if I want to try to emulate what pros are doing. So, which I'm sure a lot of other disc golfers could say the same. So I found Joe Mez like a year before I got my job with them. So I'd just been following them or whatever.
But was it like they posted saying we need, you know, we're looking for people?
Yeah, so this is the interesting part. Cause a lot of people are like, I've been trying to get a job with Joe Mez. Like, why didn't I get hired? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And it's like, well, the funny thing is I didn't apply for a job. I basically was on Instagram and they had posted something on their story. It was like one of those where you can put a reply into the, and they were asking about people with podcast experience and it was very vague, like open-ended. And I didn't know if it was like, oh, are you looking for podcast ideas? Like, where is this going? And I had been running a podcast with my buddy who I ran like a lifestyle brand for about 5 years with my I've done a lot of stuff. But
I guess we're just getting the tip of the...
You were born in 1995, bro. How are you doing all this shit? Like,
entrepreneur
getting
at heart.
After it.
I don't
just
know.
Getting after it.
So I've been running a podcast with my buddy. It's called Bindleism, a philosophy to a self-sufficient lifestyle. Just interview a lot of like up-and-coming entrepreneurs, artists, creatives, that kind of thing. And just talk about their life, like how they got into it, and then trying to draw parallel themes to help other people.
That's so
with their
cool.
Side
That's
gig dope. To, you know, get inspiration.
Yeah.
I wish I would have met you sooner.
That's just so been cool. Like, you know, couple
he ended up
miles.
Here,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah. So I am here.
Let's see where this story takes us.
All right.
So, you know, I was like, what the hell? Like, I'll put in something brief, but that clearly shows like I have podcast experience. So, you know, I just said, hey, like, I don't really know where you're going with this, but I've been running this show for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. Let me know if you want to know more. And I put some details kind of just explaining what the show was, that kind of thing. Didn't hear anything back for like 2 days. And I kind of just forgot about that DM. I was just like, well, whatever. Yeah. And then I get reached out to like 2 days later and they're like, hey, we're really interested in what you sent to us. Could you give us more information about that? So then cool. I gave them like the long version of how I got into that, doing the show and everything. And within an hour of sending that, I was getting a message back like, hey, are you free like tomorrow or the next day to hop on a Zoom call to talk more about this? And I was like, oh, sure. I mean, yeah, if I'm going to sit in front of whoever at JOMA is like, I'm going to say no. Yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm like, what is going on right now? Like,
yeah. I mean, that had to have been crazier for you more like professionally in doing camera work and podcast work than disc golf.
Yeah.
Because they weren't disc golf famous to you yet at that moment, right?
Not
like
really.
They were just, like, you were just kind of like, oh,
were,
I,
this yeah, is like a thing. I knew they were big in disc golf because of the media side. So for me, it was more like, oh, this is like, this could be cool. Again, at this point, I didn't think this was like going to lead to me getting a job.
Sure.
I was like, maybe they just want to talk to me about, hey, we're trying to get into a podcast and we would love to hear someone who makes podcasts to get some ideas and then run with it. I was like, whatever, like, you're Jomas, I respect you guys, like I'll give you free advice or whatever. I don't know, I'm asking like at that point like a 25 year old for advice.
You're like, I can make time for you, Jomas.
So I sat down with them and it was Joe Henderson, which if anyone's familiar, she's Canadian disc golfer, host of Approachable podcast. She's also done like Joe Back Thursdays with Jomas. It was her, Christina, who's Jonathan Gomez's wife or fiance. I forget if they're married or not.
Chromos?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Juan, who was the CMO of Jomez, and he's no longer involved. Juan Garcia. So I was just like, you know, they introduced themselves or whatever. And then it quickly turned into a job interview within the first 2 minutes of this conversation. I was like, without them saying it in my head, I was like, I'm being interviewed for a job right now.
Yeah.
I got to pause like, right here because it's such a story of like modern communication and like, like the way this generation operates. Like you didn't go up to a desk and say, here's my resume, I'd like a job. It wasn't even like, here's an email. It wasn't even them saying, do you want a job? Literally just slid in the DMs, dropped some bait, still not you saying, I want a job.
Right.
Just communicated in a cool way. They were like, I'm interested, tell me more. And then suddenly you're in a job interview.
Yeah. Which I mean,
it's a vibe. It's a vibe thing, man. Yeah. That's all it is.
Exactly.
Like I haven't met you until tonight. I'm still working on whether or not I like the vibe.
Vibe and questions.
This is almost like a second interview for me.
This is an interview, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to see if you want to work for the show.
Yeah. And get paid zero money. But I think getting the vibe check is like so much more valuable than a resume.
Yeah,
100%. Like,
who cares what you had done? You want me to put, I worked at Pep Boys for 3 months when I was 19? Like, who gives a
Right.
Yeah.
The vibe check thing that a lot of people don't even think about is like, if you send a big ass block of text trying to explain everything, you've already failed the vibe check.
Yeah, totally.
Yep. Nerd.
You're saying too much, right?
Exactly.
That's why I left it brief. I was like, hey, like I'm leaving it as open-ended as you left your open-ended statement. Right. And I'm sure I wasn't the only person who responded to it.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. I never actually asked them, like, did anyone else respond? Or was I just the only one who was like actually legitimately running a podcast?
Oh, I can guarantee with how many followers
I would feel like someone definitely did.
Yeah.
But
anyways, that's just fascinating to me. I think the way people date now is like Tinder. Like you just drop quick messages and you see if they respond and you can get a back and forth going. Like people are getting jobs now the same way you're dating. It's wild to me and it's very cool. Yeah. Anyways,
I got interviewed. It went really well. And basically by midway through this interview, it was clear to me what I was being interviewed for. So the podcast thing, they wanted to start a new podcast, which then became Approachable.
Oh,
which,
okay.
If anyone who listens to Disc Golf Podcast, I ended up becoming the producer.
None of our listeners listen to Disc Golf Podcast. That I know for
sure. I became the producer of Approachable Podcast to start with Jomas. It was initially like, you are just going to work on this.
So it wasn't even video.
Nope. It was like, we have this show idea. We want to do it. We've done Showmas before, but that was like via Zoom. It was kind of like a weird podcast thing, but we're not really doing it right now, but like kind of maybe want to resurrect it. We want to see where this goes first.
They like, wanted somebody with a vision.
Yeah. And so they're like, here's our idea. It's Joe and Paige Pierce. It's going to be the female perspective of, you know, professional disc golf or just disc golf at large. And like, we have ideas, but like you have the experience of like how to make a podcast structured.
Yeah.
How to tell a host how to host and then, you know, put it all together.
How am I doing, by the way?
I mean, I like this show a lot. I didn't really know about it until I came here anyway. So,
okay, fair enough.
Without saying it, they basically were, by the end of this conversation, were like, we want you to do this show for us if you're down, which obviously I was being very obvious that I was excited to even be sitting in front of them talking about
this. Sure. It'd be really hard not to.
Especially when they, once they said Paige was involved, I was like, I mean, shit, if I'm going to be one-on-one with Paige in a very short amount of time. I mean, you know, people have been playing disc golf for 20 plus years and haven't gotten a one-on-one with Paige before. So in my head, I was like, I know a lot of people be rolling around in their bed, like thinking about that opportunity. I was like, I gotta just see where this goes.
You were 25 at this time?
I think so.
And you weren't really tied down. You had this other job, but it was like...
It was like right before my birthday. So I was still 25. I was about to turn 26.
I'm just thinking about the other commitments you had going on and whether it meant like, this is going to be a huge change for me, or was it like
at 26 commitments don't exist?
That's what I'm checking for. I mean, basically,
the way it was proposed to me was that it wasn't going to be a full-time job, and I was like, well, I definitely have free time in my outside of work. I was like, I'm doing this lifestyle brand, I'm running my own podcast. I was like, I have time, like especially for Jomez. Like,
that's insane to me.
So
yeah, I'm running this brand and I'm producing the show, but I got plenty of time. What?
I was like, I'll find a way to make it work. I don't know. Cause I mean, when else am I going to get the opportunity again? Maybe never.
Yeah.
And I
you were just blown away by the presentation, by everything. And you were like, of course, no brainer. I'm going to go join this thing.
I mean, cause in my head, I was like running a podcast in my brain is very simple for me to do from start to finish. And I was like, yeah, if you already have the idea and I just have to execute it and maybe put my own tweaks into it or put my own suggestions in there. Like, great. I don't have to come up with the idea. I just have to make it happen.
How did you end up jumping from this job into being a guy with the camera on tour traveling?
Right. So that's kind of the, I would say the meat and potatoes of like my whole existence with the Pro Tour and Jomez is that
it's a gin and juice. Go on.
So when I agreed to do approachable within 2 weeks of me agreeing to do that, we hadn't even recorded an episode yet, but I had some meetings internally with a couple people and Paige and Joe, and it became clear like, okay, we made the right choice. Like Andy's definitely the person to do this thing. Juan basically called me randomly after work one day, was like, hey, so really excited about where the things are going. I like the conversations. I think we're going to really do well with this. I have an idea that Jonathan and I have been talking about for a little bit. And now that this is kind of coming together, wanted to just see what your thoughts are. I was like, yeah, sure. Running a podcast is cool and all, but like we kind of have bigger vision of doing more than one podcast. Where do you see yourself in the next like month or two?
Surprise, you're in another interview.
Yeah, basically. And he was like, where do you want to be in the next few months? Like, where are you at with your job? Like, you know, just trying to get the temperature of the room. And I was like, well, you know what? Like, I like my job. But at the same time, at that point, I wasn't really getting paid what I wanted to be getting paid. And I was not necessarily shopping around, but I was starting to think about it. And now that this was happening, I was like, I could sort of get the drift that this is going to become a more like, do you want to come on full time? So I was like, well, so I kind of said the things to give him a little trace of like where I was feeling. And then he was like, all right, well, we definitely would be interested in just giving you a full time offer if that is something that you're interested in. And I was like, when would you want me to do this?
Yeah.
I was like, I could put my 2 weeks in tomorrow. Like, I mean, if you're going to make it worth my while. And he's like, well, we can talk numbers and stuff like that afterwards. Now that I know where you're at, let me talk with Jonathan, blah, blah, blah. So after a couple of days,
negotiating he's like, right out of the gate.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, I mean, again, like, when am I going to get this opportunity again? I'm going to just see where it goes. I didn't even expect to get a full-time offer. I thought this was just going to be work on this show. It's going to be a side gig. Cool. I got to work with Jomez.
Yeah.
And now I'm being offered to work for Jomez. I'm like, holy crap, this is getting better.
It's still fascinating to me being in disc golf before all of this and seeing the rise of disc golf media in general and seeing Jomez, like, I still can't wrap my head around them doing that full time.
Yeah, right.
Even as like owning Jomez itself and being the dudes, like they still have 9-to-5s and do this on the weekends. That's how I picture it, because everyone that disc golfs also does that. You know, right. As serious as and as big as we want this sport to be, I still can't see people making a living doing this. So when you're saying not only are they doing it, but they're offering you a full-time position, isn't real life.
Right.
Yes. Like, I want everyone to feel that way because that is where disc golf media is going. Mm-hmm. But we'll get into it at some point in this conversation. It definitely was a this is too good to be true
sure.
situation that I was more like too naive at that point to know that this maybe wasn't as amazing as I was thinking was going to be.
Sure. You can't really make that move or play it that way unless what you have is an early 20 something, somebody who's going to be excited and doesn't necessarily have all of the foresight to think all of it through.
Right.
Like that's an opportunity a little bit.
There were definitely questions that in hindsight, I wish I had asked beforehand. Granted, I don't regret my time spent at all. Like it's one of the coolest things I've ever gotten to do. And I think a lot of people would agree they would drop what they're doing to have an opportunity like this. So
and you're so many years old. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And so I was like, I mean, I don't want to like at any point in this conversation, I don't want to like talk bad about anyone, but there were things that were not necessarily brought light to until I was like deep in the in the situation.
Yeah,
sure.
Which I mean, probably happens to a lot of people when they start a new job. They don't know.
In all industries, forever.
Until never. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Yes. It is. It's all a negotiation. It's all of, you kind of got to do what's in your best interest as a person who's leading an organization. And it's on the individual to do what's in their best interest as well. So there's definitely a song and dance. And everybody has had that. I don't want to say wool pulled over their eyes, but that like you didn't really know what was up until you were too deep.
Well,
into
what
the job.
Sounds amazing when you're 25 as opposed to 29 is
that's true too.
If you are doing it right, which you are, sounds very different.
Totally.
Yeah. So, I mean, I said,
what did that job offer end up looking like? Just ballpark it for people who are like, you know, having that same fantasy of, if I could work for Jomez, but like, help us understand what did your work life look like? What did the compensation look like? Whatever you can talk about.
So I got a small pay bump from what I was working at. So I think I ended up at like $52,000 a year was like the offer.
That's pretty great at 25.
Just do podcasting.
This is
where like at first I was like, this is amazing. And then after that first year, I quickly realized like, this is not sustainable. For what I was bringing to the table and what I was being paid just didn't match up. And in my head, I was like, this has to end at some point, right? Like, or something's going to change, which I'll get there. It did. spoiler alert, it did. But I did get to do probably like I live like one of the coolest years of my life. Maybe something that a lot of people will never get a chance to do is get paid a full-time salary to work half the amount of time that a normal person would work.
And when you're doing it, having probably a blast.
Oh my God. Yeah. And like, you know, meeting just like every pro you could think about, like making true relationships with these people, traveling, like, and
that
working maybe 20 hours a week at most.
The experience that you got cannot be overstated. The best job I ever had in my life, I was making like $90 a week as a camp counselor. And I was working 24 hours a day, essentially.
Yeah, right.
But like summers where I was working harder than any other time in my life, getting paid less than I ever got paid, the experience I had, like those are some of the best times of my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't have a million other responsibilities, I would go back to a job just like it in a heartbeat.
Right.
So just, I want listeners to take that in. Like,
yeah.
If you have an opportunity to do something really cool and maybe you're not going to get paid or compensated exactly what you want, you got to weigh the value of the experience because the window gets smaller and smaller.
Which, mind you, I did ask for more money, but I didn't know how much was going to, I thought more was going to be presented to me. Like, here, we're going to tell you things that you're going to be working on. It quickly turned into like, no, like you're going to just figure it out. You're going to build out a podcast department for Jomez.
Oh, wow.
but like, we don't have the budget to pay you what you want, but we'll get you there. Whatever. We agreed on said contract. I put my 2 weeks in, and everyone at the office that I was working at knew I was like obsessed with disc golf at this point. And, so when I told my boss, like, hey, this is nothing about me having any animosity to you guys. Like, honestly, I wasn't even really truly convinced that I wanted to leave at like a short term time frame. And I was like, this is just like a too good to not do. And literally everyone was like, no, we get it.
Yeah,
this sounds like a freaking dream job, dude. Like,
run, don't look back.
Dude, And there's like, I know you're putting your 2 weeks in. He's like, if you want to start sooner or whatever, like, just finish this week out and then go.
Like, sounds like that's a good boss.
Mm-hmm. And they also said, hey, if you want a job in the future, if that doesn't work out, you're, you know, my
own. That says a lot about you.
Yeah. And I mean, unfortunately for them, I guess, if they wanted me back, I probably won't, just because I don't want to be in Syracuse anymore. I'd lived there my entire life and it was just time to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I did this job and it started with approachable, but then quickly after I agreed to do full time, it became, well, we need you to start working on more than just approachable. So then it became, we want to do Showmez, which if you watched on their YouTube channel from like two seasons ago, we did like a 4-part series and it was the full recapitulation of like 10 years of Jomez. I produced that entire show. Dude. So that became like a whole other thing on top of, which was fine. Cause like, I needed to fill my time. So
your full commitment to everything they were asking you to do is about 20 hours a week. And you were getting paid about 52K.
Yeah.
That's
with benefits, awesome. Like the whole thing. Yeah.
They're with benefits.
Yeah. I knew at some point in that, after I got through the honeymoon phase of it all, I was like, this is not real life. Like, right?
It's too good to be true.
Like every time I told someone what I was doing and like how much time and all of those details are like, what? How?
Sure.
Like in disc golf, like they have money for that.
That's the biggest. That's the biggest piece. Like in disc golf, there's those resources.
What? Which I mean, they were asking solid questions in disc golf. They have that money. I was like, I think so. They're paying it.
Survey says
So, and funny enough, someone else in the Syracuse disc golf community got hired at the same time I did, which was very weird. Like, I don't know how that it lined up this way, but they had a social media position open, this guy that I had not met before, but I knew his dad through playing disc golf.
Hmm.
He like made a whole video applying to work for this job. And he was the only one who did this like extra thing. And they hired him. He didn't last very long because they agreed to pay him like $65,000 a year. And they quickly realized one, don't have a structure for this position. And two, we can't afford that. So he lasted like a month.
Oh, wow.
And when that happened, I was like, uh-oh.
Sure.
Because I was like, I've never seen someone get turned over that quick. And not because of like the work they were doing, but because they were like, we f***ed up.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we have to like kind of blindside him. I know this is like a dream job for him, but like we can't.
That's just growing pains, man. That's it's a brand new organization, like literally figuring it out as they go. And you have to take some chances if you're going to do good shit. And if you want organizations to be doing big, dope things like at the highest level, they have to take some chances.
Exactly. And
that must have just made all the ground under your feet totally shaky.
I definitely was like asking around, like, do I need to worry? Sure. And everyone's like, no, like you are. They're like, the problem with that position was we maybe didn't really need a another social media person because we already have one. They just didn't have it all fleshed out yet. And I think they just jumped the gun too fast and it just didn't work out right. My position was different because I was already working on several shows that were structured. They knew what was going on and they knew full well with these two shows, like there's nothing in the works to make money off of these shows. Maybe Showmez gets like views on YouTube, but like we are doing this solely to just create more content to bring more eyes on Jomez, and hopefully that'll
turn into money.
Right.
What is that? That's one thing that I don't really get. Like if you start to promote, let's say we were to promote the crap out of the show, this Unstable Discourse, we put a bunch of resources into making sure we got a ton of more eyes. How does that mean more money?
So it doesn't.
Because it's not. It's not going to be the number of views.
You go to
on YouTube.
unstablediscourse.com and you buy a hat and a mug and a disc and a jacket. So,
it's, can we get more eyes on the Jomez website buying merch? Do we need to land sponsors for this show? Which I was like, I've never gotten sponsors, done sponsor deals before. And I was like, hopefully our sales team can help me out with that. Cause that's not my thing. Right. I'll help, but like, I don't know what I'm
the
doing.
The sales like, motion is a whole thing.
That's right. Like I was like, I'm trying to produce thing. A whole show, let alone try to like schmooze some disc golf like CEO to give us money to a show that's never happened before and like convince them it's going to be worth their time. Mm-hmm. So eventually I did end up actually getting there, but not through, actually it was with Approachable, funny enough, but it mainly was because Joe and Paige are both on the Grip team, Grip EQ. And so Grip was basically like, well, we're already invested in them, so we'll just throw you guys a bone. And so they actually made that show, although we weren't making like a lot, but we were making more than it cost us to run the show. So we were kind of like slightly more than breaking even on that, that last season that we did that was sponsored by, the first season wasn't sponsored by anyone.
Is that still happening or is that, we're on chapter two of Andy and he's talking about chapter 12 now. I can't wait.
I want all these things to continue to live and they know that I am still very much interested in being involved in that stuff. Although I'm not working, you know, full time anymore, I put it out there to Jonathan. I was like, hey, I know I'm not like on tour anymore or whatever, but if the time ever comes where these things can still exist, like, please, like, let me know. Like, I mean, I basically brought them up from birth. So to me, it means a lot to me to still be able to like work on them if possible.
Yeah. Right.
Essentially did those first two shows. And then I just kind of took it upon myself to start thinking about what other shows can we do?
How do you make yourself
I was like, because in my head I was like, I'm not like putting in that much time. I'm getting paid a lot. And I know some people would just like sit back, never say a thing about it. Like, this is so great, I'm just going to ride it. And I was like, no, I really do like proving that I am bringing something to the table. And I'm not just like, I'm sure at some point someone may be like, how much is Andy making?
I think you're smart to proactively consider that because and especially
it goes a long way too. Like people respect you a lot more. And that is
very contrary to the typical disc golf mentality. You know, just ride it until it dies and then figure it out from there is a big disc golf attitude. So good for you.
And I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, you are of a certain generation that the whole globe is going, oh, you guys don't want to work. So getting after it and securing the job security is like,
yeah.
Good and for you. Please.
This leads me into the next thing, which is where patent pending, that came a thing. I basically had DM'd Jesse Stedman like a year before.
Who's Jesse Stedman?
He is Jesse from Trash Panda.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So I had messaged, most people don't know his last name and I don't know if he wants his last name, but whatever. I said it. So sorry, Jesse.
The show is everywhere. So everyone's going to hear
it. Yeah, true. had messaged, I had been following Trash Panda since the beginning of Trash Panda existing. Like I found his like first video. He hadn't even had another video out yet. It just kind of, you know, once you're on YouTube looking up disc golf stuff, you just stumble on random stuff. I was just like, I really like how he presents himself, what he's trying to do. It really fits like with my convictions and stuff. So I was just like, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
And one day I messaged him on Instagram about something random he had posted. And I was like, I said something to him. I could probably pull it up and like say it verbatim. I don't want to like butcher it, but I said some compliment to him that like,
I can't stop thinking about you kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, dude, I'm in love.
Slid in the DMs.
You remind me of Jason Callen.
You are the sustainability king of disc golf or something like that. Like, it was just like off the cuff. And he was like, dude, that's like one of the nicest like compliments I've gotten. Like, he's like, I'm not just saying that because you're saying it to me. Like, I seriously. And that was the only time we interacted. It was like just a quick back and forth. Like, cool. Fan said something cool. Now I have this job with Jomez. I'm like, wow. Got the world in my hands. I was like, I could truly reach out to, you know, people making stuff in disc golf and like they might actually talk to me because I'm working with Jomez. My boss, Juan, was like, hey, you know, like we are open to doing other shows. So like if you have any ideas, whatever. And I was like, well, I do have an idea, actually. I was like, would you care if I reached out to Jesse from Trash Panda? He had just posted something on Instagram saying he wants to start a podcast. He's asking his fans, what should I make my podcast about?
No brainer.
So I was like, low hanging fruit. I've already like, he's like, well, have you like talked to him before? And I was like, sort of.
I called him the sustainability king.
Yeah.
No big deal.
I was like, sort of. So I'm like, we'll see where this goes.
We're talking.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I mean, give it a shot. Like, so I just reached out and I, again, kept it sort of open-ended, but I was like, hey, this is who I am. I have, and then he saw the previous message
sure.
that we've had. And he's like, oh my God, that's you like putting two and two together. But it was like a quick, like, yeah, I don't know how or how we do this, but yes, I want to do a show with you guys. Like,
so you were kind of making your own lane a little bit.
I mean, they basically said you are creating a department that does not exist in our company. We don't know what we want to do with it. We're hoping that whoever we hire to do this will figure it out for us.
I'm going to try and fast track us a little bit because we have a couple other big points of the story we want to get to. How do you get from, you know, making really great stuff, being compensated really well, enjoying the ride to, I'm not sure if this is right for me anymore?
So that kind of comes back to answering the question you asked before, which is how did I go from just doing podcasting to then filming, doing other stuff. Again, money became clearly an issue as I got towards my like 6 months in the job. That's kind of like a good like point where you start to know a little bit more about the ins and outs of a company. Mm-hmm. And I was starting to realize, like, being on tour to a few stops that I got to go to, I got to meet the touring guys and like hear their thoughts about like, oh, because you think like, oh, they probably love their life and everything. And you quickly realize how stressful this job truly is when you are sitting in that room watching the beginning of the night when all the footage is coming in to the end of the night when everyone goes to bed at like 3 a.m. And I'm like, oh, geez. And like, I was just sitting there observing. I don't have any responsibility these nights. Like, I was there to do other projects, as any fan will do. I'm going to sit and watch Nate, Jerm, and Yuli do their thing. This is so like, it's all like happening in front of me.
It's just like with the band.
Fly on the wall.
Yeah, that's right.
Basically, quickly realized like, holy shit, this is like so much stuff going on. Everyone's like clearly has anxiety and they're just like, we got to get this stuff edited in time to get it put together for the commentary so that we can run commentary. And then we have to export it and then get it ready to master and then export that onto YouTube. Like, there's just so many moving parts that I don't think people realize. And so when you read, we don't read the comments. That was like a big, like, please try to refrain from reading the YouTube comments because you will quickly make your day worse.
Yeah.
Because
you're going to quit. You're going to quit.
There's so many ungrateful disc golf fans who love Jomez, but then the second something doesn't go perfect, they're the first one to be like, oh my God, you messed this up. Or why didn't you,
why didn't you post it exactly
at the same time you did yesterday? Or you're not seeing everything that's going on. And so it's just so easy for you to keyboard warrior and make us feel shitty. I'm like, dude, we are giving you free disc golf content, free. Like,
right.
And you don't people have to are do putting shit. Their heart and soul into it.
Oh no, you had to wait 2 hours to watch this.
And it's something that we've said forever is we, not only do we not need next day coverage, we don't deserve next day coverage.
Correct.
Like, spend a couple days. Wednesday, the first round comes out from, you know, the Thursday before. Something like, it's not a big deal, but the race to end your sanity started and the wheels were in motion and it couldn't stop. Yeah. And now this is the end result.
Right. So, I mean, this is a, I've had this conversation with Jonathan before. Like, he's like, yeah, you know, I opened a door that I couldn't close.
Sure.
Because once that became the standard, everyone else started doing it. He's like, I can't not do it now.
Can't not do it.
Because then Gatekeeper is going to be the next Jomez and we're going to become obsolete. Some other team
of people will kill themselves
if they,
can
withstand the amount of work.
Right. Sure. And he knew we were also putting out the best product at that point anyways. He's like, I don't want, no offense to Gatekeeper or any of the other media, like what they do is still like super valuable. But it was clear at that point that, you know, Jomez clearly like quality editing, like the whole thing, Coca-Cola. it was just better. And if we let a Gatekeeper become the new standard, it would drop the quality, not like a crap ton, but like it would be visibly different.
Right. Mm-hmm. And instead of drinking Coca-Cola, we'd all be drinking RC.
Can't even pay our bills and they're drinking Royal Crown Cola.
Right. Mm-hmm. And maybe not RC, but like,
how dare you?
You know.
Faygo.
Yes, we get the point you're trying to say. But yeah. It was just like, we have to do this thing. So seeing it from behind the scenes the first time was like, okay, like one, this is very stressful. But also finding out that like we're financially not doing super well was like, why? Like,
how did you find that out? Was Jonathan pretty transparent with the people in the organization about it? Or
yeah, I mean, it became a problem when like there was payroll issues like that, check that wouldn't did be there when come it was supposed up to be at one point. And I really like, again, like I don't want to like put anyone on a hot seat. Like it,
I'm sure nobody ever meant for it to happen.
Jonathan will be the first to admit. He's like, I never intended on being a business owner. He's sure. like, I was a disc golf player, disc golf fan. I love disc golf. I like making videos. This became bigger than what I ever imagined it would be. And there were decisions that were made that someone who had past business experience may not have made. Unfortunately, that was not the situation.
Sure.
And I'm sure if you talk to a lot of first-time business owners or people who are now in like their fifth business will be like, yeah, my first business failed terribly.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe it was great for like 5 years, but then it eventually just, you know, came to an unfortunate end.
And every time it ends, you learn and your next exactly. business doesn't make those same mistakes.
And yeah. so basically there were just financial decisions that were made to hopefully get Jomez to a point where it would get bought by someone bigger. And unfortunately, that situation didn't really happen until it was like more like we need to be bought or we're going to cease to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my job changed. Because it became like a one-time situation, payroll was missed, and we got paid like 2 weeks late, and we were only getting paid once a month. So we got our whole Whoa. Lump sum the beginning
that's,
of the month.
That's big.
So when everyone's not able to pay their rent for 2 weeks, or like, you know, that's they pay their rent, but then they're just strapped. It was like yeah. a very dire situation. And it
would be very easy to be put in that situation and then go, I can't let that ever. I don't want to have that ever happen to me. Again.
Right. And yeah. I definitely was like, holy shit, this has never happened before. Never even in my knowledge ever been close to happening before. Like what went wrong here? And that's when everything started to really kind of come to the surface. Like this is a situation that will never happen again. Jonathan made that very clear. He's like, if that means I don't like, if I have to give you guys my own personal money, whatever, like to make sure this doesn't happen again, like I'm going to do that. Cause I don't want you all losing your jobs.
Gangster. Love that.
And so like, yeah. I respect the shit out of Jonathan Gomez. Like yeah, he is like a great friend to me. And that moment I was like, I don't know how I would have reacted if I was in your shoes. Granted, like yeah. it would have been a lot of like reflecting of, damn, I made some poor decisions that led to this, but whatever, like shit's in the past.
Sure.
But essentially to give people, cause probably like, well, what are these financial decisions? Think of things like the putting game. Why do you think we do not see the putting game the last like two seasons? That shit's expensive. You try booking out the Mall Renting of America yeah. and yeah. then make literally none of it back.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Think about how expensive it is to book the Mall of America. I don't know the exact number. We're talking thousands and thousands of dollars.
Sure.
To do a video that was entertaining and it may be evergreen content. Like you can go on Jomez and go watch that. Like how many people are truly going back and like rewatching? It wasn't mm-hmm. viral or by yeah, any
even
means.
Even one of those jumpy yeah. houses for a couple hours.
Right.
Like just to get a 7-year-old in one of those is like $60 for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so right. I can't imagine like renting a whole place out for, you know, that yeah. much.
And it right? wasn't just Mall of America too. Like we went to so many different places and maybe some of the breweries were a little bit more nice to us about it, but mm-hmm. any of the bigger name places that we did were expensive.
They were like, what's Jomez?
Right. And I mean, think about the Mall of America. They mm-hmm. they are used to having all of these people out shopping and stuff, and they had to tell people they can't come to the big money-making area, like the roller coasters and all that stuff for like yeah. several. These shoots take like 4 hours to shoot. So that's 4 hours that we have to pay them to yeah. use a space. And on top of that, the person who was producing it was a previous Jomez employee, now contractor. He's charging Jomez quite a big fee to be the producer of this show. So he's charging us a lot. They're charging us a lot. We are making
nothing,
basically nothing off of this.
Sure.
That's how you lose a mm-hmm. lot of money and you don't get to pay your employees on yeah. time.
Sure.
I mean that multiplied by right. bunch of things.
They're taking lots of chances and seeing what sticks. Yeah. And
I mean, that's like one of several things that happened. But that was a big one that stuck out. It was like, damn, like thinking about it now, I'm like, no one was budgeting for these mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. or like looking down the line, like this might come back to bite us in the ass if we don't like get millions and millions of views on this video
yeah. sure. right?
Or get like a big sponsor to shell over some money. So when this payroll thing hit, we quickly were like, well, what are we going to do about it? And that's when the Pro Tour started to become a part of the fold. At that point, there were already some preliminary talks of the Pro Tour talking to Jomez about buying us out. Because that's just where disc golf media is going.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, they want to own the entirety of what pro disc golf is. Sure. And I think a lot of people have kind of felt that way. And yeah, that's basically what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, the PGA Tour owns the,
exactly.
its own production company.
It's just a natural life cycle of how this shit works.
Yeah. Hmm.
And they were like, we want to buy you guys out because we want to do right by Jomez, because without you guys, we don't exist in the form that we are.
Totally.
Then it was like, okay, we need to make this conversation go a lot faster because X, Y, and Z are happening.
Sure.
Shit's going to hit the fan real quick if we don't figure this out. That was like a really, really messy year.
How long were you with the Jomez in total?
I mean, to the end. Like, I was still like listed as
a Jomez. Was it like a 2 year?
Yeah, chapter? Like 2.5 years. Yes, I did become a technically on paper a Pro Tour employee after the acquisition, but I was still working for Jomez doing some stuff for the Pro Tour, like specifically like DGN and stuff. But mainly it was Jomez specific like work.
So I feel like there's so much more time we could spend getting the details. And as a
We need an Andy part two.
As a listener, I just want to hear you keep telling me stuff. But as a person who's making this for other people, let's get to the end. Like you parted ways respectfully, but like talk us through that. And then yes, I think Andy part two in the future.
Yeah, no brainer.
Could make sense.
Yeah, my interview with you has gone well enough.
I think.
It's good at interviews.
So far, don't push it.
Like I said, I didn't run a podcast for a while.
Sure.
Yeah. So when the acquisition happened, basically they told me I was going to lose my job if I didn't become a full time touring. It was like a black and white. Like podcasting is going to stop happening after you finish the episodes that have already been agreed upon. Mm-hmm. We do not have money for that anymore until this gets like brought back to even.
Sure.
Because the Pro Tour is like, we're taking on a lot of debt that we need to figure out how to not be debt anymore.
Yeah.
And then we have to figure out how to structure you guys, make you a part of our thing. Like it was messy. They eventually figured it out. And then they were like, hey, you either come on tour full time or we're going to have to lay you off, unfortunately. And at that point,
on tour full time meant being a cameraman and editing and stuff.
Yeah. Like I was very deep in like editing. I was the gatekeeper of all media being posted on YouTube. Like I did a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. This kind of leads to like why I ended up leaving. So I originally said no in that meeting. I was like, I was in a relationship. I knew that if me going on the road was like mandatory, I was like, my relationship's going to not be a thing anymore.
Sure.
And we were already like kind of on the rocks at that point. I was like, I'm trying to make sure that this doesn't, funny enough, it still failed. So like within like, it was like the week that they were going to basically tell me I was done, that I ended up being broken up with. And I was like, hey, so I know I told you X, Y, and Z, but that is all changed now. I am very much available to be whatever you need me to be, because I don't want to lose my job.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, that's interesting you say that.
That you're over a barrel, we have something to tell you.
They're like, well, we did not factor you into the equation because of what you said before.
Sure.
We're not letting you go, but unfortunately, we're going to have to make you a contractor for like 3 months until we can figure out how to bring you back in as a full-time employee. Mm-hmm. That ended up only being like a month and a half because our touring manager quit like right after the acquisition. Like the most important Jomez employee that no one knows about. Maybe you've seen him on coverage. He was at his wit's end. He saw the writing on the wall. He's like, I'm done. And that's where my life became more than just, oh, I'm going to film some stuff. It was like, no, now you're going to start editing. You're going to start doing like a job that maybe three people should be doing. And you're going to get paid as one person doing it. And you're not going to get a pay raise for this.
So the scales really tipped the other way from
it quickly turned
way overpaid to do not enough to getting...
It felt like I was like paying a fine for the amount of time that I spent the last like year kind of, I won't say freeloading, but like having the time of my life, knowing that it was like a pipe dream and it was going to come to an unfortunate end in some way or form.
The consequences of my own actions.
I will say in hindsight, I was very much prepared for this moment. I was like,
sure.
It was eventually happen. Yeah. I wasn't like blind to this, like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. I was like, gotta do what I gotta do. Like, now I'm like legitimately doing the thing that everyone, you know, glorifies. Yeah. And I quickly found out that it's not this amazing thing that everyone, again, seeing it for the first time, without having my hands on it, I was like, sure. Holy shit, this is stressful.
I can't help but think about being a fan of Jomez.
Mm-hmm.
The alternate universe where Jomez doesn't spread themselves too thin.
Sure.
I'd love to see what that looks like, where they don't go, oh, and it's no offense to you because you were a big part of bringing all these other ideas to fruition, as we say. But I would just love to see what that looks like, because that's what it just seems like to me. And I hate to, because I am a fan. We're all fans of this idea. We are all doing exactly what they are doing all of the time, which is building businesses within a sport.
It doesn't exist. That Jomez where they don't push themselves to the break doesn't exist, because we see ourselves doing that all the time, because we don't want to do something halfway.
Right.
And if it takes 4 more hours, and if Sheila makes it, you know, with Jason Delwood and Dragons for no reason other than to make it epic, you know, like just to push things over the top, we're going to do it. And so I'm sure Jomez was the same.
Yeah, right.
There was never going to be a Jomez.
There is no alternate universe.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. Like, Jonathan knew, like, the wall was coming where, like, it was going to be, we're going to cease to exist because the Pro Tour is going to make it that way, or we're going to prove that we are so invaluable to them that they can't not take us.
Right.
I just, he never intended it for it to be in the manner that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's just sometimes just that's how shit goes.
Yeah.
And unfortunately it went the way it did. But so when this acquisition happened, Kevin left, he was our touring manager, very important, like integral part of how Jomez like looks. Like, he was the main like animation person. Like, he created most of the graphics that we see today.
Cool.
While being the tour manager.
All while tour managing us, being on the road, filming, like doing stuff that I ended up doing, like posting all the YouTube stuff, like being the first one up, the last one to go to sleep, like that kind of shit. And he was like, and I was like, I get it, dude. I was like, I get why you're trying to leave. You almost left before this even happened. So like the fact that you stayed through it, I'm like, mad respect to you. And he's doing great. He's doing his own thing. It's fantastic. Obviously, like, huge now into just the whole like transition. We're like, holy shit, what are we going to do now? Cause now we're doing FPO. We're not just doing what we were doing before, which we were struggling with, which was just MPO. We're doubling our workload. We lost him. And then Joey Tamale left as well.
Oh, right? I didn't realize that.
And so Joey
to tour.
Well, so he actually initially left to work for the Pro Tour to just do what he got hired to just do, like, side content stuff, like Paul Macbeth stuff. He never intended on being a film, like a touring filmer, just going stop the stop, film the tournament, and that's all he's working on. And he was like, dude, I don't want to do this anymore. He's like, this is what I got hired for. I want to be filming like the cool cinematic documentary stuff, which, sorry, Joey, we don't have money for. And he knew that, but like, he was just like, dude, this isn't what I signed up for. And now it's getting worse. So he left. He left to become a contractor with the Pro Tour. And then quickly after the Jomez acquisition, that whole department in the Pro Tour got canned because they were like, we didn't ever factor in Jomez becoming a part of the fold this soon. We don't have money for this stuff anymore. So like, some longtime contractors with the Pro Tour got canned because they were taking on Jomez. So that was a whole mess too. So like, Joey was like, Joey's out at that point. I was like, like, this is sketchy. People are dropping like flies now. Jonathan just like basically got stripped of his like role with Jomez. He became a minority owner of Jomez. Like, doesn't have it. Like, he still has say and they respect him, but like, it just became, everything became different.
So when you're pouring your Fruity Loops at 8:30 a.m. on Monday morning and you're pacing because Jomez didn't upload that video fast enough of the final round and you're upset, why don't you sit back down and
take a breath,
relax.
Breath. who's up and had been up for the last 26 plus hours, no sleep, bags under their eyes, just like losing hair, me. Sitting there waiting for that video to render so I can put it up on YouTube. Totally. Like,
catch an hour
so
of sleep.
You can leave shitty comments on the video.
I'm having flashbacks. So I volunteered time with Jomez at 2018 USDGC with shout out to Ryan Nick, who was my roommate for a week. I rode Ryan Nick's coattails. I don't know if you know Ryan. He's a North Burbs guy.
I've heard the name. I don't know.
I'll tell you more stories when we're done, but great dude, and rode his coattails to helping Jomez at USDGC. Long story short, helped him out. It was some of the hardest work I have ever done in my professional life. It was crazy. Jonathan reached out after all was said and done and we were on the plane ride home or whatever. I had just gotten home and he was like, hey man, you know, how do you want me to send the money to you for the week? And I was like, bro, keep that shit. Don't you dare even pay me a dollar because I had a blast on your dime of getting there. You guys took care of me. You put me, I stayed in Paul Macbeth's Airbnb. Come on. Like that was enough for me. I was like, keep that dough. Give me a little shout out or whatever on one of the banners or something on one of the events, which he did do. You are giving me like Vietnam flashbacks of what it was like. Not for me, because again, for me as a fan, it was fun. Right. For a week, it was fun.
Right.
But watching Michael and Jerry and Jonathan, and that was 2018. So we're talking a couple of years before where they were at that point. They were still, clicking up on the roller coaster. And I was watching these guys just, I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they managed that amount of work and the time that they had at the most prestigious event in disc golf.
Yeah.
Where, I got to say this one moment. I'll never forget it. I hope that Jonathan hears this at some point. Paul Macbeth won USDGC that year. And we're going down hole 18. I've got zero business being in the position that I am in, by the way. For that event, they said, okay, we don't really know what we're going to have you do, but we have an extra camera that we're going to put a parabolic
mic.
Parabolic mic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you just try to catch all the audio. And I was like, okay, cool. I think I could do that. And we're going down the final stretch and I am behind Paul and Jonathan looks at me with all of the fear and terror I think I've ever felt from anybody who was like in charge of the things that I was doing and told me like, get around him and get in the front so I could catch. It was an amazing week, but you have me totally thrown back to this week where I was like, I don't know how these guys can do. And that was the 2018 version, mm-hmm. not the pandemic yeah. version, and then through all this acquisition, so fascinating to us. I think I speak us that, you know, doing what we do, and that is the maybe a few levels up higher than what we do.
But I think it's funny because it's like 2018 when they did follow flights, we were like, whoa, this is
so
you know, like that shit was so to hear you in 2021, you know.
So mind you, also I know there's like an app now, like Ace Trace or whatever, mm-hmm. like and everyone thinks like, oh, this is how easy doing a good follow wrong. Wrong. You're so dead wrong. Like
George, you are dead wrong. Dead wrong.
Yeah. Watching just one of maybe five that happen in one video, those take like a half hour to an hour, depending on what the shot was, like what the angles we're working with are. Cause sometimes you have to improvise when the disc goes behind shit. Mm-hmm. Like
sure.
I'm telling you, it's not as easy as you think it is. And I would love to see you try.
None of it is.
Also, the people that are doing it on Ace Trace is like, one camera, static. It's not zooming. Right. It's not following anything.
We're doing multicam.
Right.
Yeah it's a nightmare. And then we started adding like the overheads and the extra graphics. Like it's just a lot. But yeah, so when people started leaving and I was taking on more responsibilities, again, didn't get a pay raise. Not in my head, I was like, damn, this sucks. Like I really should be getting paid a lot more for what I'm doing. But I was mm-hmm. also like, also they're taking on a company that should be bankrupt. So I'm like, I can't really, I'm in like this weird position where I'm just lucky to have a job right now.
Sure.
I'm going to see how long I can last before I lose my shit, basically. Mm-hmm. And it didn't take long. Took like maybe three events and I was quickly like, oh, I do not want to do this. Like, cause like I wasn't just filming and editing like one thing. I was doing like 10 different things that I never thought I would be doing all at the same time. It was not an ideal situation and they knew that, but that's just like, dude, you're taking one for the team basically. And like, sure. Unfortunately, it became the reason I left. Cause on top of that, the Pro Tour, like now that we bought you guys, we're going to stop paying a lot of our contractors because we need to save money to afford this acquisition. Mm-hmm. So Jomez Pro as a crew is now required, mandatory, wasn't a part of the agreement when we were told like this is happening. You are all now filming Silver Series events. Figure it out. Two of you at every event for the rest of the season. Now, these are weekends that we never planned on being on the road. These are weekends to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're on the road with no notice. Like we were in Portland. Yeah. We were
and no break because sorry. Then you're going to Silver and then hopping back on Elite.
We got told at OTB Open last year, Sam Gaddis sat us down and this isn't Sam's fault. He was just taking it from above. I just got told this. You guys got to figure it out. But to Jelma's crew at every silver event for the rest of the season, I don't care if we figure it out week by week or you plan it all out at once, but like, we need to know. Hunter and Mike stayed on the road from OTB, two silver series events in a row, then Portland Open, then Montana before they went home. So they're on the road for five straight weeks. Never in our contracts before this point had that ever happened. No one was ever on the road that long. At some point, you got to go home for a week in between 2 weeks in a row.
Sure.
5 weeks. I mean, didn't get to go home. Didn't get to, I mean, luckily they didn't have pets, but like, there's like a lot of implications that.
Sure.
Sure.
Real life, man.
To just be given like no notice to figure it out. And I became part of that. I took on like the whole like Midwest swing. So I did like Mid-America. I did Kansas City Wide Open. I did Discmania Open, which was the biggest waste of money I've ever seen. No offense to that. Like, that was a really cool event. Biggest waste of time for the Pro Tour. Like, it was an unfortunate situation there where they were like, shit, we took on too much, that more than we could chew. Why silver events do not exist anymore.
Yeah.
It was not worth it to them to do a full live coverage of an event that most people are not watching.
Yeah.
And then to send us internationally, they sent us internationally. All those flights are like uber expensive to go to Prince Edward Island. It's a very small place, very small airport, talking like several thousand dollars to go
per flight,
not that far.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
Yeah, right.
Like, you could have paid the same amount for me to go to like Singapore. That's how expensive we're talking. Mm-hmm. And they sent a whole crew of us to go film a tournament where there were seven people in the FPO field.
Yeah.
Wow. So like, it was just like a lot of like, oh my God, there's like some organizational stuff that the Pro Tour is still not figuring out. So I was like, I'm stressed out. I don't want to be doing these extra events. And like, this is what I'm being forced to go film. I'm like, dude, like, I just can't anymore.
It got to a point that anybody would.
Yeah. I was just decision. Like, I just, in 5 years, maybe it would be like, yeah, let's do it, because you're getting paid like you should be getting paid.
Sure.
And the kings are ironed out.
Right. Actually, there's enough people where you can go home and not have to film every event because there's enough people in the rotation. Like, that's just not happening right now. Mm-hmm. And again, the context people, I think people need to know is like, we're working with the same people at every event. Most of those people do not go home.
Right.
Like, they are strictly event to event. You try being not at your home, like in your own bed for
6 hours and I'm done.
Dude, like, do it for like 3 weeks in a row and you just lose your mind. You're like, here's another Airbnb like that I have to stock the entire thing to make it feel like I'm at a home. Like,
there is video of this, which we couldn't always say before, but there's something in your eyes about, like, as you tell the story where it's like
PTSD, is that VR PTSD? For real? I'm like reliving it. I'm like
Andy from the start of this interview to Andy now is like you've ascended to another. But so, given how it felt for you in the end, and given how even intense it is for you to like bring it all back up, a young person who had an opportunity to like chase like a dream job like this, that the path is unclear. I guess, what would you say to somebody like that? If you could go back to young you when this opportunity, like before you sent that first DM, what would you be like wanting to tell that person?
I mean, like I said earlier on, I really don't regret making the decision to do this job. Yes, I would have liked a lot of that information ahead of time, like knew some of the context to know what to expect. It's like,
I don't think they didn't have it to give you.
That's the thing. And I think if you had known some of the things, you may not have ever done it.
True.
You know,
that's very true. I mean, if I knew it was going to become as messy as it did, maybe I wouldn't have.
If I knew I had to sit next to Alex every episode when we started, we wouldn't even have gotten three episodes in.
There's a lot of residuals of the job, like the relationships I have with pro disc golfers that people, no one can take that from me now.
Sure.
Like, you know, like I have so many of these people like in my humble bragging, but like, you know, I can hit up Big Germ right now and be like, hey, what's up, dude? You want to play Wingspan tonight? And he's like, down.
Prove it. Do you what? FaceTime Big Germ right now. I'm 100% FaceTime, serious.
Wait, what are they doing right now?
Do
you want me to?
It's
like, I'm like really tempted to for the sake of this podcast. I'm
1,000,000% serious.
It's Austin. They're at the.
If you FaceTime him and he answers,
I don't know if he'll
thing.
Answer, but maybe he will. Let me see.
That's is it going to piss him off? That's the one question I have. Because I don't want you to upset him.
Where is he at right now? Is he back home?
No, they're in Austin right now.
They're in Austin, so that's in same time zone?
Same time as us.
Yeah, same time. It's 9:23. He's still up.
This might be looking into the future, because we're going to be spinning the wheel here soon which might have a, there's a phone, a friend.
Anybody have big dream? No, nobody's got big dream.
Did I speak too soon? I can at least do it this way. It's not the same, but it's sort of like, I mean, it's still like a video call. So
wait, when
but will he answer me is the, if more he the answers, question.
Yeah. Actually, just give the phone to Jason.
No. I want Big Jerm. Like,
who are
no.
you? Yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't pick up, he doesn't.
Hello?
Pick up.
Hello?
What have you done with Andy?
It's me you're looking for. I can see. I mean, he's probably doing something. I mean, what? Today's Thursday night. Yeah.
I can't believe it.
They just did their practice round, what, this morning? Yeah, he's or not whatever.
Yeah. It's all right. You know what? You scratch tried. It. I tried.
I love that you tried.
Yeah.
Mad respect for you. Tried.
You made me very nervous.
Yeah.
No, I really did.
I don't like
that. Germ. Hi, Germ.
His number's probably like in my messages somewhere, and I just never.
Anyway, so you would definitely
I've never needed to call him for a reason.
Everything you got out of it, you would do it all over again.
Usually, like, we Instagram DM. That's probably why it just never left there. But yes.
You would do it all over again.
Yeah. The people I've met, the things I got to see, the amount of pro disc golf courses I got to play, just like I can't say I wouldn't want those things to have happened to me.
Sure.
It sounds to me like you got 10 plus years of experience in 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And the value like of that, the value of that.
Yeah. Not even, I mean, the value of meeting all the people but like the value of watching a business growing really rapidly and how to avoid some pitfalls.
Right.
And like
learning what not to do.
Huge.
Shit. That's huge.
Priceless.
All due respect, but mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's a part of it too.
Yeah. I mean, I would tell my younger self to still do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would just say proceed with caution, you know, just like don't be as bright eyed, bushy tailed as you are right now, which I mean, it didn't last super long, but still like just be a little bit more realistic about what you're saying.
When you're 25, 26 years old, 2 years is a super.
Yeah. You are allowed to be unrealistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Man, that's wild. It's very cool to have the context. I mean, we knew it was hard, even just as a hearing from Sean and hearing from Doc and hearing from some of the other people that I've talked to in the disc golf media world. I had an idea. It's nothing compared to what was really going on. This is just priceless insight. So, man, sorry you went through the tough parts, like to get through all that led you to being able to be on this podcast right now.
Yeah.
So far the pinnacle of your career. Yeah.
The thing is like, this wouldn't have happened if I didn't leave the Pro Tour.
That's true.
Like, I would be in Texas right now, for example.
With bags under your eyes.
Yeah.
Had bags under my eyes. Like, no, I mean, I'm very grateful for the decision I made to leave. Because I think the biggest thing people forget is that when you're in it, disc golf stops becoming your like passion in life. It starts to become a job, which then you start to resent. And then you start being like, I don't like disc golf anymore. Mm. And that was also a deciding factor. Is like, I'm starting to hate the thing that I love. And I mean, any of those people will admit like, yeah, you get there. Like, let's see how long you last before you literally hate watching disc golf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Though there's something to be said about, you know, if you can do your passion for your job, that's then you quote unquote never have to work a day in your life. But if it's exploited, then you just now your passion's
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I mean, most disc golfers, I mean, the biggest decision making they have is which beaten Firebird are they going to throw?
Right.
Yeah. You know, and so like to put a perspective like that on how much of that is the sport that they love.
How much of that has to happen in order for us to know that the only thing that they have to worry about is which beaten Firebird they're going to throw.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
The amount of Andes that have to have bags under their eyes for 5 weeks at a time is just what a cool story.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
You need to write a book, bro. For real.
That would be sick.
Write a book.
All right, that does feel like a good place to put a cap on the gin and juice. And I think then it's a good time for us to get into the old mailbag.
Does that mean that it's
mail time?
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
That was good.
Hell yeah.
Good shit.
Felt that was good.
Take us right into the mailbag.
You got it.
A lot of Blue's Clues growing up.
Here's a question from Tom Samborski. No, our first question is from Tom Samborski, and he wants to know, what part of our lives do you think deserves to be rewatched in a slow mez? I think that's
Yeah, that's
fascinating.
Such a good question.
Yeah.
Alex, let's start with you.
I'm sure there's a way better answer, but the first thing that came to mind for me is I was playing catch with a football in a yard somewhere, and I was like looking over my shoulder to catch the ball, so I wasn't looking at the ground. I stepped in like a gopher hole or something and like sprained my ankle, and I'm sure like my face was like, you know, in so much agony, and then I fell, and then while I was like just about to hit the ground, the football also then hit me in the face. That all in slow motion, I think, would be really fun.
Double
to
pain.
Watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Double pain. Yeah. Yeah.
To the sound of a slow motion tuba.
Sure.
Right.
Wait, isn't slow-mo's usually like when you did something really cool?
Yes.
Yeah.
I really biffed that then.
That would have been a no-miss.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is all technically in slow motion at times.
Yeah. So. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? Dude, when you won the smooth.
My first win?
Yeah.
I'll take that in a slow-mo's for sure. That is mine, actually. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
My first dub.
Andy?
I would say mine would be my first ace in disc golf. So we never got into this because we were talking about media, but I did build a disc golf course back home in New York. It's on a ski resort.
In all your free time?
Mm-hmm. In my free time.
Yeah. Good Lord.
The course had been open for a couple months, but we kind of did a celebration of... We did like a little Indiegogo to help fund some of it. So we were like, hey, part of you being a part of like this happening, we're going to put on like a free food and all that kind of shit. Come play disc golf and then like celebrate. And so we did like a mob round to celebrate. We're on hole two. It's like 290 feet, big dogleg right in the woods. Can't see the basket off the tee. There's like 15 people just standing behind this tee pad. Sick. And I just... right in the basket, and like I ran off the front to watch the disc because it felt good, and then I just threw my hands up before it went in the basket and just started running, and everyone's like, no way. They hear it, and there's like a shaky video that someone took. It's super terrible quality, but like everyone's just still, like hooting and hollering, like running down
the fairway.
That's
a slow-mo's, baby.
It would have been that's definitely really sick in slow motion. Yeah.
I have one. I'm gonna make it very quick, but I was at a bar at home with my dad and my brother, which was very rare occurrence. Mm-hmm. And the bar was packed.
You son of a bitch.
This is a Jolene.
This is a Jolene. No, Jolene.
It is not. It is not.
Is my brother Joe there?
No.
No?
So, is there a railing in the story?
Across, like it's a square-ish bar with the bartender in the middle. The other end or other side of the bar are friends of my dad and my brother, who I vaguely know. And the whole time we are there for hours, they are wadding up napkins and paper and trying to throw them at us, right? And they are getting across the bar, like joking around, you know, like having a good time and throwing pretzels and shit. I don't participate in any of it. We're just screwing around. And at one point I get up and I start walking away to the bathroom, and I have a crumpled up napkin that had just been thrown at me, and no looked, left-handed, threw it across the bar, and it landed in the middle guy's landed right in his beer glass. And I swear to God, 85 people in that bar lit up like it was the 4th of July.
They watched it from the beginning.
And I just kept walking to the bathroom because I knew, like, I could feel it, just like you knew, like, when you put your arms up to run with that ace, I was like, if I just keep walking, it's going to look so much cooler. Just keep walking. And I came back out, and I have never had so many drinks offered to be purchased. Hell for me.
Yeah. That's like, awesome.
I could have had 85 beers. It was so funny.
Cool.
So,
guys don't look at explosions, man.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Just walk away from them.
It's such a stupid moment, but if I could have seen that like movie style, you know, like no look, just toss it and walk away. If I could have seen that in slow-mo's, it would have been the greatest.
That's great. And the first thing I thought of once you started telling that story was Sean hitting Sheila with the acorn.
Yeah.
That would have been a good slow-mo's.
Wait a
too.
Second. Yeah. Wait a
now
second.
That you say that.
Back up.
Can I change my answer,
Sheila's
please?
Eyes just
bonk. I can still hear the acorn. I can still hear it.
Oh, I want to hear that sound.
Oh, God. Hey, well, we got another trip planned. Yeah. I'm sure we're going to find some acorns.
Plenty of acorns.
There will be an acorn. Mine would be my birth. All right, let's move on. Wow. Jason Allen has the next question. Like a baby coming out of a vagina in slow motion. Yeah, that'd be very funny. Were there any professional players who were especially kind to you? This is Jason Allen question. I don't know if I said that. Did anyone go out of their way to thank you or do something nice for you when you were there?
Clearly not Big Germ.
Right.
Because you didn't pick up.
No, I love Germ. I would have to say Brian Earhart. I mean, I think he's someone I've built like the closest, one of the closer relationships with.
I'm sorry, who?
Brian Earhart.
I'm just kidding.
Brian Bearhart.
Not familiar.
I think he was here one time, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
He's from here, maybe. No, we tried to acquire his show in my days as the podcast person, and the logistics just didn't work out.
Obviously, I remember him talking about it.
We did not have the money for what we wanted to do with that show. And I
was
the one who was like, hey, you have to talk with Brian and figure out how we're going to acquire it. But also, we don't really think we're going to be able to acquire it. But still talk to him and make that connection. And so it was like me becoming friends with Brian, but also raising his hopes up and then letting them down a bunch, but being like the middleman. And eventually, we got to work together. On Catch, which
is awesome.
I got to film
one of the coolest things to come from all of that.
Unfortunately, I did not get to edit any of it because I got furloughed at the last second. I was supposed to be the person producing the whole thing, and that never came to fruition. But Brian has said some of the just the kindest words to me about working with me and like what I've brought to the table. And he, through just kind of me, got to see what I did and everything that. And he's just become like a really great friend. So yeah, I would say Brian Earhart is just like upper echelon of like, he's just one of the nicest people.
For everything that you just told us in your story, for you to say that afterwards refills my heart meter up completely.
Yeah.
That is such an awesome thing to hear. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Next question. This one comes to us.
What was that? Just throwing your hair back?
Long hair. That has to get out of the way.
Chaylene flashback.
This question was submitted via our email. And it comes to, it comes from Lauren Lakeberg herself. Mm-hmm. And she is hitting us with the hard-hitting questions. She wants to know, when you open a patch of Chuckles, what side do you start on, red or green? From left to right, it goes red, yellow, black, orange, green. And do you even eat the black ones?
I take offense at that.
First of all, 100% on them. I love black licorice.
Oh, that's second to last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know why it gets so much hate. I love black licorice. So of course, you can eat the black ones.
I mean, second to last because I eat the gross ones first and then save the best ones for last.
Being black then red?
Yeah. 100%.
Right. Obviously. So then for you, you're starting on the green.
Green
side,
or yellow.
Right.
And then
you're going to do green, orange, yellow, black, red.
Green, yellow, orange, black, red.
Fair enough.
Every I don't think time. I've ever had a chuckle in my life.
I don't know what it is, and I don't
even
know
what kind of candy a chuckle is.
Flavored jelly squares that have like sugar coating on them. Do you want me to go get the pack that
I
brought with us
tonight? Yes, I do. Very much so. I thought you were going to
try one on
there. I thought this would have happened by now.
BRB.
BRB.
I was going to say, I hope no one gets mad at me for not knowing what it is. But
I can't.
Is this like a Midwest thing?
You've seen them at every Ace Hardware in the aisle.
Chuckle.
Like, oh my God, I have seen those.
Can I hold that up, please?
That just like opened like a weird memory.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Of me never picking it up. And being like, I want it.
Yeah, your dad was always probably like, nah, put that down.
You don't want that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that's just those colors. There's not multiple. In my mind, it was like four
always
yellows,
one of
four
each.
Greens.
No.
Always
no.
Those colors. Always in that order.
Yep.
Do I get to start?
Sure.
Yeah, please.
ASMR.
Do it actually, more. If you really want to get into the Lauren Lakeberg of it all while he's doing that. So there is a company that supplies these yellow boxes of candy to companies that they just come and replenish it like once a month. Basically, there's a slot for you to put a buck in there. And you have all these candies. You'll see them.
It's
at
like a Lions Club thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So they came around to the shop and I have one of these. It's like a vending machine, but it's just a cardboard box that has chips and cookies and candy bars and all this different stuff in it, right? The guy came today to replenish and has never put Chuckles in it. But today he put two packages of Chuckles in the box when he was there. And I was like, like we knew this question was coming because it was submitted via email and we had discussed it. Mm-hmm. And then like in the most Lauren way possible, Chuckles presented themselves to me when I knew we were recording tonight. And I was like,
you might be clairvoyant.
Okay. I guess I'm bringing the Chuckles.
Mm-hmm. She's the Oracle, man.
And just, of course, the green one is the one that's left, which was literally the last one that I wanted to eat. Because I wanted the black licorice. And yep, I knew it. I knew it.
Because he took the red one.
Sorry.
I knew it. All right, I'm eating green. But I'll
is
do it later.
Like it's really on theme. Mint? What is green?
No, it's probably lime.
Lime? Green is lime.
Lime, yeah. Okay.
If it was spearmint, green would be first.
Yeah, for sure. All right, next question.
Incorrect.
our last mailbag question is going to come to us from J3P. If you know, you know.
J3PO?
J3PO.
I think you know would he's just listening. Get yeah. such a boner for what you just said.
I heard it.
Yeah. It was all for you,
I can hear it from here.
J3PO. Future boner. Yep. This is for Andy. He wants to know, what does the song at the start of Jomez practice round say? It's something like, yeah, you can't throw. You can dance, Mike. Go, go, go. Not Andy's specialty, I suspect, but as he is part of the Jomez extended universe, I thought he might know.
I don't know it off the top of my head, but it is, yeah, you can throw. Hold up. Let me listen to it real quick because it's been told to me before.
I don't think
I've
ever heard this.
Yeah,
you have.
Maybe I'll.
I just listened to it hours ago.
You remember when they like kind of changed their graphics and it was like shapes falling into like a circular thing?
For the practice
thing?
Round.
For the practice rounds.
But all I can think of is the. That's the only music I can
think of. No, it's at the very beginning of the.
I don't watch enough coverage. Even now that we have a fantasy league, I'm still not watching enough coverage. Hopefully, I get there.
Here it is.
Never heard.
It's just really not coming to me. It's been told to me like once. I really hate to let everyone down, but I don't.
Cancel the second episode that we were
It was all hinging on that, buddy. Way to go.
J3PO is going to be sorely
failed the interview.
My God.
These are not droids you're looking for.
I can hear his that's slowly deflating.
Joma's lore that I should know, and I just
DM us when you find out.
And that mailbag is closed until
does it got ties and
episode.
A zipper?
Yeah, it was a zip tie?
Yeah, there's actually a clasp that... That part doesn't make noise. It's three locks. It's a tie, a zipper, and then a clasp.
Very secure.
All right. That is a wrap on the mailbag. Listeners who contribute to those, we love you. Thank you so much for that. We are going to move it along to the last portion of this episode, which is the Fantasy Frisbee Analytics Reconnaissance Tournament results from the week.
Mm-hmm. So since our last record, we had Waco.
All right. Let's have Sheila hop on the mic.
Is it wet?
Just dripping pouring sweat over there. All right. I don't think we need to talk through not a lot of it, but like highlights, right? So what is what were the results and what is going to lead to spins, basically? Yeah.
So last week we only had one spin, or last episode we only had one spin because of chess.com. There was only one loser, which was, of course, Alex. New shit has come to light, though, at Waco. There have been several penalty situations which result in wheel spins, as well as an ace, which results in all the rest of the team captains having to spin the wheel. So there are multiple spins.
If one of our alt players that's not active that week aces, does that rule still apply?
No.
I'm going to say they have to be active.
Because they're not in.
Yeah. They have to be activated.
No, but my friend, you got, in the alt department, you got what we say... host.
Yeah.
Host.
So I will say
183 points
we will
from your alt boys, dog.
We will make our comeback. Eric Oakley, do not worry. You are so much better than what we saw on the scoreboard this week. Don't even think about it again, bro. We're good.
So to recap quickly, in last place, obviously. is Team Tailwind with a total of 261 points. Yeah, he had a couple alts. Heimberg and McMahon weren't even signed up. So he was doomed from the start. And then Team Deucer was right behind. Well, not right behind. She was almost exactly 100 points less than that.
Thank you, Eric Oakley. Yes. Yeah.
100 points worse than
She was an Eric Oakley above him.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
So she had 163, and then Team Callahallander came in with 153.
Not great.
And then Team Jaylene with 61.
61.
But
baby.
Team Contentious Toad with 54 total points.
Pretty incredible.
For the round, including above rating bonuses, which we all got. We all seem to get a bunch, except Alex, but it doesn't matter.
I got two.
You got two. So the total scores right now are from last to first. Team Tailwind, 437. Team Callahander with 303. Team Deucer with 273. Team Contentious Toad with 203.
You got me by a hundy?
And Team Jaylene with only 100. And
four times more points than you. That's ridiculous.
Andy, just for reference, he doesn't know who any of these people are.
He doesn't disc golf.
I've said it, but I chose my team just based off Instagram vibes. I was just looking up random people, and I was like, nah, he seems like,
first
like
week,
too
he
bro-y.
Picks, he picks Evelina cool. Solonen yeah. for chess.com, and she destroyed it. So that's where we're at, but let's get into the nitty-gritty, because Anthony Barella aced,
yes.
part of Team Deucer, so right. that means everyone but Sheila has to spin that wheel.
That's right.
But Paige Pierce, who is also on Team Deucer, happened to take a 12 on hole 17 yeah. in the second round. So she will be spinning the wheel because she scored more than a quadruple bogey on a hole. And also Matt Oram, mm-hmm. who is on Team Jaylene, scored a 9 on that very same hole, I believe. So he will be spinning the wheel. And Alex will also be spinning
just
that wheel.
Just because I'm in last place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we got a bunch of spins to get through.
Two
so.
Spins for me, two spins for Jason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the rest of us get one.
Cool.
Yep.
We're all really hoping for Tiny
We're going
to
see Tiny oh, Wheel
two
today.
Two spins for... Or no, she's yeah. just get one. That's yeah. right. That's right. Just get one.
Yeah. yeah.
Mm. Do you have Malort?
Of course, yeah. I have the bottle.
Yeah,
she's a doozer. She's got right. everything okay. we need.
Let me get it.
Let's do it.
I don't Here know if the go. Shot glasses are still up there, but...
Yeah.
Tiny Wheel.
I can't see it. I'm so excited. Wheel.
Tiny.
It's red.
Oh, red. Yes.
Wait, this is for me.
Yeah,
yeah it is. Yeah.
So red does not mean tiny wheel.
No.
No, it sure doesn't. What but your voice is going to be pitched yeah. to her the rest of this.
Starting
episode.
Right so now.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not that much
yeah.
of the episode left.
That's okay. Yeah. Keep talking.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I will. I'll be a good sport here, and I'll say a couple things to just keep it interesting.
Well, why don't you
Well, you
spin,
have a second spin.
Why don't you spin
so,
that
oh,
wheel a second time?
All right. But we have to chant...
Tiny wheel, tiny wheel, tiny wheel, tiny
no.
No.
Oh.
It's not blue. It's green, but you have to stand the rest of the episode.
Standing. Oh, that's so good.
Okay, so now I look taller, but I think I sound smaller.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. Sure do.
You sure will.
Or will he?
Yeah. All right, just pass it around
yeah.
since I, you're right there, Ryan.
Yeah. Honestly, you guys get a spin. Right
yeah. just your next right spin. Back. Leave it yeah. there. Yep.
Okay, I just need to go to red, right? Okay,
yeah.
ready?
Yeah.
Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel.
Oh, you were so close. You get to wear the hat of shame for the rest of the episode. Yeah. Give him the...
We don't
give him that big old right. noggin boost.
Yes. The noggin boss is the hottest hat that has ever been made.
You get to sweat
yeah.
out.
All
right. I couldn't even wear that if I my head would be
yeah.
touching the ceiling.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so, you look totally right. normal right now.
Somebody better get Tiny Wheel or I'm gonna be pissed.
All these spins.
I remain confident that it's not gonna happen.
All right,
all right,
ready?
Here we go.
Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel, I can't tip.
So close.
Oh, what am I doing?
I don't remember what this
you
is.
You landed on 100% Goob.
Oh, so you get referred to as Goober for the rest of the episode.
That's right. Oh, nice.
That's Goober. Not a bad...
we have to do this
survivable.
Yeah, yeah, we need to do this earlier to make yeah. this good punishment spin, funnier. Yeah.
Next episode, we'll do right. it first.
Yeah. All right.
Not a bad spin, though, Goob.
Right. Yeah, good job, Goob.
Good job, Goob. Goob.
Here we go.
First spin. Did we ever explain that? No.
Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel, tiny wheel.
No,
it's blue.
Oh, I have to pass the hat of shame off to you.
Oh, son of a!
See, right. So I only wore it temporarily.
How convenient!
Nice and wet.
I can feel that I'm going to get the most bullshit thing.
So you're going to get pee pants.
Yeah. All right, one more spin.
Yep, ready?
Let's
go.
Let's hear it.
Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel,
please.
Tiny wheel,
please.
Tiny wheel.
Oh, damn it.
And
it's Bird Box.
Bird Box. You have to go blindfolded the rest of the episode.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Just take your glasses off.
Yeah.
No. Just pull the hat down so you can't see anything.
Yeah, put the hat on backwards, upside down. Yeah.
There,
yeah.
You, there you go. Yeah. We should have saved
the
mailbox.
You look like Fred Durst.
That's good.
Oh. He has Noggin Boss on over his eyes right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like there's not enough opportunities to call Goob by Goob. His proper name.
I'll just
now.
Try to do Goobie shit and then you'll be prompted.
Yeah, we should have done this before mailbox so that Jason would have had to read the mailbox.
Yeah, questions. That would have been pretty difficult
right.
to do.
God, you look like Lord Helmet with that thing on.
One.
Yeah.
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry. Lone Star.
Two.
Everything that's happening now is happening now.
Yeah.
Three.
Is happening now.
Go ahead.
That wasn't even all the way around. My God. Price is Right.
Other way.
Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel.
What?
It's blue. It's the Sprite chest.
You got to chug
an entire Sprite without burping.
You're going to throw up.
Yeah,
do you have I'll get it.
Tonight is what? The night that Sheila throws
up. What is this
up.
One?
Do you have the tiny things of 7 Up?
A whole 20 ounce of Sprite.
It's a normal can.
Without
burping. Oh, it's just a can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still, that's still tough.
No.
What is that? Is that like a 2 liter or something?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the 1 liter.
Oh, it's like the 1 liter. Yeah. Mm. The 32 ounce or whatever.
What was that sound?
That was a can of Sprite.
I have to finish this all in one. Yeah.
But you can't burp.
You, that was you don't the have sound of a can of Sprite coming down the stairs.
Coming down the stairs.
Wow. What a hole.
You don't have to chug it, but you can't burp. Yep.
She can burp before. You have to chug it. Just not after. Is she doing it?
No, but we're all flipping you off and you can't see it.
Oh.
Feel like you have to chug it.
I can't. I'm already getting like
try.
The syrup.
You gotta try.
The syrupy. That's
like the syrupy.
Let's move that wheel. It's covering the view.
How does it look? Is it funny? Is it at least, does it look funny what she's doing?
Chugging yes. Sprite?
Yeah.
God, you would love to know. Yeah. Don't tell him how it looks. No one describe it.
Hey, Goob, tell him how it looks.
Bird Box. Yeah.
Shut up, Bird Box.
I'm allowed to talk. I just can't see. This is really pushing on my eyeballs, though.
Just keep rolling. It's fine.
The chocolate starfish.
Chocolate starfish.
And the hot dog flavored water.
This is terrible.
Chug it.
It's
chug.
It's coming.
Yeah. Chug.
It's coming. It's
why
coming.
Is it terrible?
I know my wife. She can't chug.
At a normal rate right now.
Yeah, she can't. This isn't even punishment.
She's silently. She's doing silent burps. So we
you
can
want me to throw up?
This is tiny.
I don't want you to throw up. I want you to have to throw
the
up.
The listeners want you to throw up.
Oh my God. I feel like I'm going to float away in like Willy Wonka.
Fizzy lifting drinks.
Don't burp, Sheila. Don't burp.
You stole fizzy lifting drinks.
You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
I said good day, sir.
One more.
Almost done. You win.
That is the fastest I've ever seen her drink
wow.
anything.
Wow.
Done.
In Sheila's world, that is a chug.
And now you're allowed to burp, or what's the rule?
Nope. I don't know. No, can't. No, I can't.
Can't burp.
She can't burp for the rest of the episode.
Cool.
Do you feel like you need to burp?
Yeah.
Her eyes are glistening with carbonation.
Yeah.
I can see it.
There's bubbles coming out of
hey,
her ears.
Jay, what does it look like?
I don't know. That's a stupid noggin boss halfway down my head.
They're going to go to bed, and at like 2:30 in the morning, Goob's going to be woken up.
Yeah.
And like, with like the most horrendous
Rumble.
Burp.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We did it.
All right. Well, that's it.
Team Tailwind's got some ground to make up for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did we settle on the idea of a redraft halfway through this thing? Or is that TBD?
We haven't settled on anything. I'm enjoying the view.
I'm loving that. Eagle McMahon and Kelvin are not showing up, and they have to use alts.
I'm sure things will balance out as the season goes on, but I just think the draft is so fun. It would be cool to do it again, given what we've learned about our players over the course of the season.
I think that we did mention that maybe we could shuffle and then get like one fresh pick or talk about a possible trade. We mentioned trades.
Trades would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that would be a fun spot on the wheel would be like. Between episodes. Am I even facing the microphone?
Yeah, you are, but you do look like Lord Hellman.
You look like a deepest squall.
Yeah, I
oh my
really.
God.
Hey, look, Calvin this Heimberg. Is
awful.
Is on the roster.
Okay.
I do not see.
For Austin?
Yeah, I don't see Eagle, but I may have missed him.
Andy, FaceTime him. Let's see if he's going to play.
Yeah.
Eagle was saying he's not. Eagle's not going to play until April. Is that when this next event is?
Oh, could be. No, it starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so Eagle's first event isn't until like April 4th.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got Eric Oakley, baby.
Yeah.
I may not be able to see right now, but the view from first place is mighty nice.
Shut up.
God, I wish you were the one getting called right now.
Accidental.
Yeah.
There's no difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can't see.
Well, hopefully.
I made notes for my team. I think that's what we should do moving forward.
What kind of notes are we talking about?
I'll read them. Real quick, here we go. Ganon Burt is the new GOAT. He won.
Paul Macbeth and Katrina Allen continuing to let me down. Love you, but get your poop in a group. Chris Clemens with his worst ever Waco finish costs me 52 points. I looked that up.
Well, that's because he's throwing discraft now.
Worst ever by quite a few. Missy Gannon taking her second best finish ever at Waco. Parker Welk, my wild card, has done dick and took 64th place. Thanks for that, Parker. Really appreciate you. And Lucky Lorenzen was close. I was really hyped because I thought she was going to, and then I remembered our rules was top five for FPO.
Yeah,
because
there's only 40 of them or so.
You are the only person that took notes, huh?
I think we should all take notes.
That's I mean, I know.
Move, if you ask me.
I had a 1-3 finish with the women, so I'm
I think the notes should have
guys.
To rhyme. I'll even one up it.
I actually do think we should all be taking notes on our players for
yeah,
the segments.
Yeah, that's what makes it fun.
Or at a minimum, maybe DMing them on Instagram to let them know what team they're
that
on.
Was,
shout out.
That was cool that
shout
you...
Shout out Owen Scoggins, who got yes. back to me and said... That
sounds
was,
good.
Sounds good.
Yep. He said, sounds good, but to me...
I think that she maybe thought that you were special needs.
Yeah, for sure.
Good job,
but
yeah.
But
she's such
what,
a nice
what
girl.
What I read when she said sounds good was that she is very excited to be part of Team Jaylene.
Yeah.
So.
What did your that's message awesome. Say to her, though?
Well, I'd love to read it, but I
did you mention anything her. About how you mispronounced her name like three times?
No, never would I do that.
Okay,
no.
Yeah.
But was it basically like, hey, I host this podcast. We're doing a thing. You're yes. on my team.
Yes.
And she was like, okay, special
yes.
boy.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
for you.
Yeah,
good.
For sure. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Okay, Goob. All right. All right. Well, unless there's any other big pressing things we want to talk about this round of our league.
No, I won't stand for it.
I was going to say the only pressing things currently is this hat pressing on the inside of my eyeballs very hard. So let's wrap it up before I go blind.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. I hate how my voice is going to sound. This yeah. part. Like the sign off should be a little bit more serious. Damn it.
Nah.
Thank you guys for listening and contributing, especially the mailbag questions. We love that. Thanks for all the interactions on socials. Let us know how you guys feel about the league format. And if you're, you know, we're not going to listen to your feedback, but we are curious. until next time.
Don't forget to thank Andy for being here tonight.
I was just about to.
Okay.
Andy, thanks for being here, man. This is the kind of insight we were never going to get anywhere else. So it's just awesome, and I can't wait for people to hear it. And I think we will have you back in the future at some point.
Real quick, before we take off, Alex, can you just real quick name the names of the three famous chipmunks, please, for me?
What Alvin, Simon, Theodore.
Very good. Thank you. All right, mm-hmm. that's all I needed.
All right, guys, until next time, keep it on the fairway.
See ya.
Y'all be good.
I can't see ya.
Unstable Discourse is produced by Sheila Callahan. Edited by Ryan Fancher. Beats provided by Alex Seminary. And produced in association with Unstable Disc Golf Gear. Look good. Feel good, play good.
Unstable Discourse is a Top Secret Studios production. You already know.
I don't want you to throw up. I want you to have to throw up.